Let's get this meeting going.
$5 for a soda pop. That's a good place to stand over there.
Somebody want to say a prayer? Brad? Thank you.
Father in heaven, we're grateful for the wonderful world which God's created, the opportunity we have to enjoy it out here at Deer Springs, and to meet together to better our community. We pray for your blessings and spirit to be with and guide us in these aspects. We do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Brad.
I want to do roll call. If you go ahead and get started with the gentleman here.
Well, if you want to get, let's get started. We can do a roll call.
Well, we'll do a roll call later. Okay. I want to introduce your.
All right. Here's what's going to happen. This is Devin Kilpat. I'm going to let him introduce himself. He's got a few minute presentation about this wildfire plan. And then after he's done, Chris Nielsen needs about 5 minutes. Chris is a tree trimmer and got his own chipper and all that stuff. I'll let you know what he can, you know, it's gonna interface with what Devin tells you. So anybody who's interested can contact Chris. So,
okay, go ahead.
Thanks. Appreciate Brent. He just gave me a Reader's Digest tour of Deer Springs. I had no idea how big this area is or how vast that you are seeing. It's really neat. It's a beautiful area. The reason I'm here is because I was hired by the Five County Association of Government in January. I'm retired from the U.S. Forest Service. I was a district ranger, and I have 37 years of experience with wildfire and many other things. Just so you know, I saw a home burn on my watch. It was called the Mill Flat Fire. It was in 2009, and it was a fire that began with lighting one tree, but my hands were tied. I had 16 communities adjacent to my ranger district, within the ranger district boundaries or adjacent to. And I was also given a 50,000 acre wilderness that was designated by Congress in 1985. And the problem was they didn't give us any tools to manage the vegetation. The only tool I had was natural fire. Otherwise, I couldn't put prescribed fire in there. I couldn't do anything. When does natural fire come? It comes with lightning, June, July, August. June, July, August usually have 10 to 12 hour burning period. It's a prescription for disaster. So I was trying very hard to put fire into that mountain. I think you know where the Pine Valley Mountain is, just outside of St. George, north of it, along I-15. It's sick. It's got down and dead and decadent seals in there. The wildlife have moved out. It's not good for wildlife. It needs fire. My 16 years while I was there, I tried to introduce natural fire in there. We visited New Harmony about four times with some big fires. Most of the time, we were able to, well, all of the time except for this one, we were able to protect New Harmony. I remember watching flames, 100-foot flames, burning right behind homes and cabins. But we were able to get it put out aerial-wise with helicopter and fixed wing. What happened on the Mill Flat Fire happened a little differently. It burned for 30 days, 29 days, it burned 1,000 acres. It just snaked around, did everything we wanted it to do. On the 30th day, it went from 1,000 acres to 11,000 acres in one day. What happened was it built this plume. That plume is full of embers and fire. The difference between the other fires that we were able to save New Harmony with was it had a warm wind that kept the plume in the air. Warm air rises. the Mill Flat Fire on that 30th day after it built its plume. We had a wind event that came across the 10,000-foot peak. We weren't aware of it. It wasn't forecasted. We checked the weather every 10 minutes on a fire. It was not forecasted. It cut that plume out from under itself, and it rolled down the mountain. That fire didn't burn down the hill. It rolled down, started new fires, and started to come back up again, build a plume, and that air, cold air, cut it out again. The third roll, it was in New Harmony town. And I personally watched a home, a beautiful home, probably a $1 million home, burn to the ground on my watch. Every time I drive past New Harmony, I'm sick. I'm sick about that. I never want to see that again. So that's my background, and it gives me a little bit of passion for what I'm doing here. I'm not here for any agenda other than to help you. This document, we call it CWPP, Community Wildfire Preparedness Plan, is a mandated document by the Utah legislature now. And, you know, I've done this third one. I just started. I got Old Irontown, and I'm doing the Duck Creek area that Brent attended. And now I'm here at Deer Springs, and I lost my train of thought. Anyway, it is a okay. What I was going to say was the guy. The first meeting I went to, they said, "Who in the hell is going to read this?" And you know, it was a good question. But I'll tell you who's going to read it, and I hope they never do. Is a fire team. You just saw Cedar Mountain burn, and that fire started 30 years ago. The environmental movement coming in and shutting the Forest Service down in the logging process, and basically bugs went to work and ate while we were in court fighting a little organization called Friends of the Dixie. It was five women who were Las Vegas residents that had cabins in Duck Creek. They farmed themselves and sued the Forest Service every timber sale we had. And the bugs didn't go to court. They stayed out. Before long, we had an epidemic, and it killed every spruce tree on Cedar Mountain. As soon as they saw what it had done, they moved. They were no longer around. So they're gone. We don't know where they are. That fire started 30 years ago, and look what it's done. This is the kind of fires we're going to have, and the reason is because the Forest Service and the BLM in the last 50 years have been suppressing fire because we've either had to politically or because we thought it was the thing to do. It was poor management. And now we've got situations where we're way behind the eight ball, and we've got dangerous situations. We've got homes in and out of all these areas that excellent fuels. Forest Service and BLM are really trying to struggle and catch up, and so is the state. State forestry fire, state lands, they've been doing a lot of work. As I drove in here, I saw some wonderful vegetative fuel reduction areas. You've got a lot of good things going on. A fire team, the first thing they ask for is do they have a CWPP? And that's what they look for. This document can tell a fire team a whole bunch in a short time about your situation if you get a fire and they call it in. They don't have to go doing a lot of research to see what's going on. They can read this, and it's your information that you give me, and all I'm going to do is record the things that you want in here. Whoever did the website for this place is a hero. That's a nice website. I got all my information off that website, but it's still not complete. And the part that's not complete is the back part where we have some goals and things that we want to do. And one of the things that I'm here to tell you is if we have this document, and it'll never be a done document. It'll always be changing because things happen. We do fuel reductions and so forth. But once you have this document, you are then capable of getting funding. State funding, federal funding, a whatever, it'll come through the state. It might be federal funding, but it'll come through the state. And as a board, you guys can propose some work that needs to be done. They probably, we don't want individual homes where they'll come in and cut around and do ladder fuels at the individual home. What they'll want to do is more of a larger landscape type of thing. Now, one of the things that we looked at as we were traveling around is a lot of your access roads are very need to be open for emergency vehicles. As I do this information, I do it with that in mind. Can emergency vehicles get in here? And can they get parked next to your home? Can they get up and can they turn around? That kind of stuff. So I think that maybe once we get this done, is one of our goals is to propose a project that where the state would come in and go through your and brush your roads and make them wider, vegetation-wise. We might even get money to put some surfacing on your roads. Those are the kinds of things that I'm talking about as far as what you guys could propose to do, and you'll be qualified if we have this document. If you don't have this document, they won't even look at you. You have no standing. And so that's why it's really important. And, again, I'm not here to force you to do anything. I'm just here to help. I will input the information that you give me. There's a lot of stuff I can get from the county, like values of property and so forth, and what it and some of the things that's in here. I'm not going to go through this step by step because a lot of it doesn't mean anything to you right now, but I do want you to go through it. I have put in here a few things in the, like right here on page 20 is past accomplishments. And I'm a little ahead of myself, but I put in here that the Powell Ranger District is planning a fuel reduction in the, is it Meadow Canyon?
Yeah, at the end of Meadow Canyon. End
of Meadow Canyon to, for both fuel reduction and for wildlife benefit. So I've actually put that in there as something that we're going to be accomplishing. One of the things that you might want to do is extend that on the private land and say, we want to propose where we could complement the Forest Service project and do something on the private land. And that would be your decision. We'd put that in the goals. Anything you see in red that I've just put in as suggestions on the next couple pages, I put in red just things that maybe would be our goals. Goal A1 on page 22, improve the vegetation component of the ranches in this area to be complementary to those projects that are being done by the U.S. Forest Service and Bureau of Land Management. Pretty simple, pretty basic information that we're talking about, but it's a goal that we would work towards. And so I'm just trying to get you started thinking about things to get this document. Now, I'm not going to stay any longer. I will take some questions, but what I would like to do is propose I come to your annual meeting. And by the way, I'll be off this by then. I had an ankle replacement a month ago today. But come to your annual meeting where there might be more owners and property owners that I could present a couple of YouTube videos that show what wildfire does when it comes up against the fuel reduction, how it will go out, and how beneficial these fuel reductions are, and how beneficial these cutting out the ladder fuels around your home are. And we have actual video of those kinds of things. And then also I want to show a video of the research station in the Northwest Basin. They do research on what actually starts a building on fire. They actually have a house in this big warehouse, and they go in there. What they're finding is that it's not starting fire on the siding or the roof. Where it is the needles in the valleys or in the rain gutters. That's what catches on fire, and that's what brings homes down. And so there's just some little things that people can do to protect themselves in an event of a wildfire. Do it now. So anyway, I'm just going to open it up to questions, and if you got some questions, let's talk about it. And then I'd like to come back to your annual meeting.
Yes.
Tell me who you are.
I'm John Harris.
Okay.
Yes. Thanks for being here. I'm short of the roads here, so you mentioned roads. So if I'm hearing you right, one thing we need to do is trim the trees back. That's at the very minimum. Along our ranch roads.
Not all of them, but a lot of them, yes.
A lot of them, like some of the main roads and what have you.
I'm only thinking that way for, because you get a BLM engine in here, they're pretty big.
Yeah.
And if they can't get in safely with a fire going, one thing I used to tell cabin owners when I was a district ranger is I want to meet my firefighter's parents, but not by telling them I just killed your daughter or your son. A smart manager will not put people in front of a fire when they know that they can't get them out safely.
So
that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, one other question. And I think Brett probably capable of answering this one for me. Probably has, but I got a short memory. How far back from our home should us that are in got trees around? I think all of us have some around. How far back should these trees be cut back?
Apologize. I should have brought some books, and I'll bring those. But they show where you should have 50 feet, 100 foot, and then 200 foot. 50 feet, you should have everything pretty much trimmed up like this, only
high.
Maybe higher. 100 feet, you should have spacing of trees. And 200 feet, you just basically need to have.
In other words, you have like a ring of trees around,
yeah,
so to
exactly.
speak.
You can have trees,
but all trimmed up high.
But if you were, like, for instance, that right over there, that's what we call ladder fuels, and that'll carry that up into a canopy. Once it fires in a canopy, then it's dangerous for firefighters on the ground. And that's what fuel reduction does. As soon as you find that a fire will come in to an area and it's coming with the wind and everything and it's in the trees, you get where it's, you spread out the trees and you get the limbs and the ladder fuels get out, that fire will go to the ground and it'll go from 100-foot flames to 8-inch flames. And then that's when you can step over them and you can put a hand crew in. That's what it does. You
know. Well, I was just going to comment on this. For the rest of you, my name's Chris Nielsen. I've been coming here for 30 years, just about. And Paul Ford's my father-in-law. I spent a lot of time up here, but we ended up moving to Colorado for health reasons myself. I was burned in a fire and got a lot of lung damage. So we ended up there. Anyway, about 4 or 5 years ago, they had all those huge fires in Colorado. All of the big insurance companies lost over $5 billion because of the houses that burned down in those fires. And so now, one of the big, I did tree trim removal up there, one of the biggest part of our business is, they want the trees away from the houses. If you're in the rural area, or urban, what do you say, in the downtown, more condensed, the urban area, then you don't have to worry so much. They still want to wait for the house, but boy, the closer you get to the outskirts of town, the bigger lots of property, the more rural that it is, the bigger fire space that they want. They're even making us take out trees next to a house, 50 feet into the house, the farther out, 150 feet of the house, because when they catch on fire, especially if they hit that cannon, it creates so much heat and so much fire, then other things that normally would have burned will burn. And that's a big part of it. But the fuel that he's talking about, which is I'm going to talk about a little bit, most of it's the undergrowth. That's what makes a fire so dangerous.
It's low stuff.
Yeah.
Ladder fuels that climb up into the
camp. And you go up to my property and all these properties through here, man, we've got more fuel laying on the ground and trees that are half dead. And one thing I was going to bring up now, what's some of the most dangerous fuel on a property? And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but we talk about it all the time in my business. Cedar trees. They only have 4% moisture.
Average.
On average. Right? And people use it for furniture. You know why? You only have to let it dry for maybe 2 weeks, and they're good to go. You cut down another tree, you're talking 6 months, 2 years, depending on the type of tree that it is. In order to eat it. And that tells you how dry that wood is. So on top of the pines, on top of the undergrowth, look how thick our cedar trees are in here. We have an enormous amount of fuel on our property here. Enormous amount of fuel. And that's low-lying stuff. The dead trees, number one, those should probably both be number one. And clear out all the undergrowth that you can away from your cabin. To me, I've been working on mine, but I haven't been up here very much. I'm trying to get mine back, at least the undergrowth, 150 feet. And then I'm actually cutting trees down that I've been, my kids don't want me to take down for walks. They're right next to our cabin, but I have kids and pictures of my kids right next to those trees. I've been ducking those trees for years. And then the last few years, I've been knowing they're bad, you know, and I'm like, God, I just don't want to take them down. But that's what your choice is. We got to make it easier for the firefighters coming in. If they come in, look at your house, and they know it's going to be hard to protect, this one's going to be easy.
That's where they're going.
They're going to go to that one first and let that one go because it's also more dangerous for them to work there. So.
The vegetative type that you're in, any juniper mostly, yeah. You get up in the Ponderosa Pine on the high end, be sure. But in the pinyon juniper, it pretty much takes a pretty good wind to move a fire through pinyon juniper. However, you do have a lot of cheatgrass and other grasses. One thing that's good about juniper, and it's the only good thing about juniper, is they have this chemical that they sterilize the ground underneath them. And they do it so that they can get all the water they steal the water from other. If you look under junipers, you don't usually have a lot of vegetation under them. Indian is a little different, but junipers, for some reason, have this chemical that'll sterilize. That's good because it's bare ground. The bad part is it's dry, like you said, and if you get a little bit of wind and you get it in the canopy, you're not stopping it because there's no manager that's going to put people in front of that. They're not going to do it. In California, the firefighters, they'll get ahead of the fire and they'll go through subdivisions and they have a load of rocks, red ones and green ones. When they see a place that can't be protected, they put a red rock on the driveway and engines know it, not even go there. That house is going to burn because they can't do it safely. If they can see, they can protect it because it's been limbed up and done the work before, they'll put a green rock on it and your engines will end up there to protect it. That's kind of, you could probably go out and put a green rock if you want, but we don't do that in Utah. We just look at it. But in California, they got so damn many homes that they have to do that.
And you have to use your people where you know that the effort's going to make the difference.
So this whole effort is with the mindset of what we can do to protect deer springs. You're probably going to get lightning strikes, 1-3 to 5-acre fires in this pinyon juniper. And that's good. Unless you get something that's driven by wind, and you know the storms we get around here, they're pretty violent. They last for a short time, and then they're gone. They usually flood you. Or they leave you with a fire. And that's what Southern Utah's like. You guys have pinyon juniper, you're probably not going to get a whole lot of big fires unless we get wind bringing it over the ridge and then we got to do something. And then that's when what you've done around your homes will make a difference. Have you guys driven to St. George and looked right there by New Harmony, by that rest area? On the highway, the freeway, just north of New Harmony turnoff. You see those holdings up on the west ridge? Fire burned right up to them. And the only thing that saved them was an engine parked on that site. And I'm telling you, I look at that and I think, how in the world? But what happened was they did have some fuel reduction things down below that actually slowed that fire down. It was wind driven. And it slowed it down enough for the engines to get in there and save those homes. Look at it the next time you go. You'll be amazed. I have a video of that exact one that I want to show at your homeowners, and that'll show you what I'm talking about. Any other questions?
You know, you mentioned the main roads, and they look, some of them pretty good, some spots not as good. I think what you were getting at was not just necessarily the main roads. That's not where all the fires are going to be. It's the access roads that come off of them that need more work than just the main, like Meadow Canyon. So with saying that, if you limb and trim, you get access roads cut back with underbrush, et cetera, what can we do, and this is for Brent too, to get rid of that underbrush as it can be a fuel in itself. So how can we
one of the things that we can do is and Spencer Rollo, he is the King County Fire Warden. And he would have liked to been here today and he will come to other meetings. But they have the ability and the money to and they're doing it up on Cedar Mountain, they call it chip fence. They do it, you cut your stuff off your property and haul it out to the road. Then they hire contractors to come in here on a couple of weekends a year, and they chip it for you, and they pile it wherever you want to use it in your garden, or if you don't want it, you don't have to have it, put it somewhere where people can get it. That's exactly what they're doing to Cedar Mountain, right? And they have the money to do that, and they said that they have money, and they say that money going out here. So
that's county money.
Pardon me.
That's county money.
It's county money, state money coming through the county, and they can hire contractors. All you got to do is organize. Say, hey, we want to do this, and then all of you do what you can, either on the roads. I would not much worry much about the roads as I would your personal property for something like that. And unless the proposal is a project that may be big that will have county money come in and do a lot of brushing back of these access roads.
And when you say funding's available, is that something we have to complete a grant, or we just...
They already completed grant. All you do is propose to the warden. They got the money. You propose to the warden that you have this high need, and they know you have a high need. Spencer knows exactly. In fact, Earl of Anger is the one that got me out here. He knew the need you have. And Earl's not the warden anymore. Spencer is, but Spencer is exactly what he knows exactly what. we Deer Springs is a community at risk. Okay, so you have the ability to get some of that,
and that could be something that could be done, preferably now in the fall. Or what are we looking at?
You decide. You organize and say, let's do this. And let's get with Spencer, and I'll get Spencer out of here. Let's get with Spencer, and let's pick, now, Duck Creek, I don't know when they do it, but we wouldn't want to do it that same weekend.
Right.
We'd want to do it a different weekend where they could leave the contractor out here and spend days, and come back the next 2 weeks, and do all the chipping that you need.
So basically, you have to do the work.
You do the work, and they'll do the chipping. But where are these access roads, and you got a lot of them, I think that's bigger than what you guys can do. So I would go in with a proposal, and then this would be a proposal where you would propose against other proposals, and Spencer would decide who gets the money this year. It might be 2 years out that you might get the money. And then they'd come in and brush those roads out.
But basically, they're not going to really listen to us as a group until your paperwork, the
CWPP,
has been completed.
Not completed.
Or at least shown some progress.
To show that you guys are interested in this, we put down goals, we say we want it done in 2 years, and then that's when they'll start saying, okay, you guys are capable of this, you're organized, you're interested, you got people like this guy, you got people like this guy that are on the ground that can do it. John that has responsibility for the road. they're going to say, okay, these guys are organized. These guys know what they're going to do. They want to do this. They're going to start coming. They've got to come. They've been mandated by legislatures to get this done. So the money's going to fall.
So you would be the contact person, or Spencer would be?
Myself and Spencer would be the contact. My job is to get you guys on paper. Spencer's job is to get a contractor out here and to get you the money. And that's, I can't do that. I don't have purse strings or anything. So we get this going, and I think I think I can let Spencer know we had a really good meeting, and we're on our way.
Hey, the other thing is, I want to tell you guys that taking on a project like this, most of you here, if not all of us here, I do this a lot. Most people cannot do this kind of stuff on large scale. Even 150, 200 feet around your cabin, unless it's on flat ground, it's going to be really hard. Like mine, I came up here with my crew about 3 years ago, and we did a lot, and they killed us when I'm down those hills, and we do it all the time. We brought in winches and everything. It's difficult for you. So if you do it, you don't want to try doing this on your own, really. You want to either organize as a group to go do this property, and then this property, and this property, or hire someone that's done. The other equipment that I have available, which he's aware of probably, is we have mulchers. You go on a piece of equipment, loader, or a cat. You'd be surprised how affordable it is to have them come in and do the undergrowth. Some of it will grind it up right there and leave it on the ground. Doesn't pile it like some of these out here. If you look at these areas that they've already done, a lot of that's in piles. This here, the mulcher will distribute it as it goes through. It's more of a mulch. They don't have to do every tree. They go around, they do the undergrowth first. That's what we do. The other one is the chopper. Takes on a D8 cat. Go up and down the hill. He can drive right over a tree, and it chops it up and leaves it right where it's at. Yep.
I saw one as I came in out here, right clear down in the canyon. There's a big limit masticator that they set it on a juniper and it goes, and it's gone.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And we have different types of equipment. The thing is, you'd be surprised that it's actually not that bad. Yeah, it's expensive, but when you're looking at the options, it's actually, if you do it where we could recruit as many people as we can to come in and do it, even if you did a safe distance, a few acres around your cabin, your main property, fire breaks, whatever, it's really not that bad if you do it as a whole, and it's a lot easier. I'm actually going to do as much as I can by myself. Because I know it costs money. I'll tell you, it is hard work.
Chris, we'll need your phone number for contact.
I thought I would do. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go home. We're going to put together a proposal maybe. I can't give prices because I need to see how many people might sign up. The more people that sign up, then the prices can come down. Our biggest cost, which would trump most of the cost, probably, or a lot of it, depending on how many people sign up, is shipping, bringing it back and forth.
Is there a chance we could get the county to hire him to?
They would probably ask so many bids that where he's located here, he might be able to be under bid those. Absolutely, it's kind of what you want to do is keep the money here on site if you can, and that kind of thing. There's all kinds of BLM also. Brent showed me that you're in and around BLM. We're going to hit them up on this. We're going to get the Forest Service of BLM very well tied into this. And BLM is going to hear us out on, and they might already have projects planned for here, but you might not be aware of it. That's another thing I'd like in this document is one or two, three of you be tied in to the planning process of the Forest Service and BLM. So that you know what's going on, and that you can have some say in saying, "Hey, wait a minute, guys, you're overlooking Deer Stream here. We need some help here on this BLM land that we live adjacent to." That's how this is all going to work. We're going to get BLM's attention. We're going to get Forest Service attention, and we're going to start doing things in here. Another thing that the state can do is. And they did this up on Cedar Mountain. They went in and before they did the chip fest, they went in and did
three demonstration lots. So they took three homes and they limbed them up. They got them all nice out 200 feet just so people can go there and look and see, oh, that's what you're talking about. Well, that's not so bad. They didn't take all the trees down. That just shows, you know, everybody, the first thing they do is, I don't want you taking my trees.
I'm
not taking your trees. We're just trying to limb them up so your trees are there when the fire goes through. It's a very, very, it's a very good practice.
Let me give a suggestion real quick. One thing you guys can do, you can't do it now, but you can do it in November, probably December, depending on how much snow you guys get where you're at. Is all that dead laying down? Pull it out of the road, burn it right there. You can do several piles in a row if you're at the time of year where it's fairly safe and burn it right there. You don't have to drag it 100 feet to a pile or 200 feet to a pile. Drag small areas in and burn them. Keep them small and just feed one here and there. Keep three or four in line of sight and burn them. That undergrowth really is the most important part. One of the things that's really upsetting to me is I cleared that part of my property up there 2 years ago. And the manzanitas and some of these little bushes came in. Man, it's like I didn't do anything in some of that area. So I'm actually going to go up there and do something different. But
manzanita and a lot of invasives will come in when you disturb something. So that's something you have to think about. And by the way, this thing is something that will make sure that we not only put in projects that BLM and Forest are going to do, but we're also going to say, we want you to be maintaining these 10 years out. We're not submitting our one time. We want these maintained 10 years out because you got children and grandchildren that are going to take over these places, and they don't want this to start over. We have got to be proactive years to come with this document so that we're not doing it one and done. We've got to keep it going, okay?
What will it take, or what do we have to do to get some signage that the BLM's got, you know, like in Kanab, a moderate, high, low? We could put a sign here. We had a guy start a fire by the ponds up here. And there was no signage to tell him otherwise, I guess.
State forestry, fire, and state lands, they can provide signs. And they have them. And we just need to alert them. That'll be Spencer. I will make sure, and I'll put in here, our goal is to get signage. And it can happen. One of the things that also asks in here is are your addresses easily seen? And your lot numbers are, but you really don't have a good addresses, and it's hard to see your homes from your access roads. So again, if they know that it's lot number 134, it's kind of hard to sometimes see that. And once you get to lot 34, well, where is it? So it almost needs to be opened up a little bit so they can see it.
Some areas that I've been involved with before, we had people put their address number on the roof or other things, because if you have BLM.
It all has to do with the people who are trying to save your place. They need to know. They can, if they see it, then they can get to it. If they can't see it, then it takes more time, and fire burns so fast when it's in wind and so forth. So please be thinking about that kind of thing. When it's snowing out here, you're not going to want to talk to me. But when you saw what happened on Cedar Mountain, man, I got people calling me every day. When are we going to do ours? When are we going to do ours? But we've got to keep that in mind, that if next summer's going to come, next summer's going to come, and we're going to be in the storm. Okay. Chris Mills?
Yes.
So I'm just taking some mental notes. I got a whole bunch of mental notes that I took while I was going with Brent, and you guys are got amazing water storage systems. That's awesome. I'm really excited about that. And standpipes that you can hook to if you need it. Those are the kinds of things that you really have done well. I'm really excited. It's the little things of brushing some roads out that are just scary to me. And it will be difficult. a real incident. I'll be able to put a lot of stuff in this document from what I learned from Brent. And what I'm hearing here with a guy like this that's available to you, and if you guys are willing, I think that your organization can really do some neat things. And one of the end goal here is to be a FireWise community. And then that opens up more doors for signing or all kinds of things that can come in here money-wise to help improve the conditions here for you, down to surfacing of roads. So that's what we're going to shoot for. Everybody's doing it, so we want to really get on the ball. You could probably visit the Forestry Fire and State Lands. We've got Forestry Fire and State Lands website and read about it. This document is a format that I have that is actually locked and unlocked by a password that I can open and put in information, and I lock it back up and send you. Once we get it to a point, then I'm going to be able to provide that to you so that you can update it online and keep it updated over the years. But no, it's definitely, I would like emails to, so I can guys abreast of what we're doing. I don't know if that answers your question.
What we need to do is two or three people on a group of events to be in our base.
What we need to organize here is a fire council. That's what it's called, fire council. You guys pick who you want on it. It doesn't have to be board members, but it just needs to be somebody that'll communicate with me, and then I can meet with, and we can organize and start getting the things done that we want you to do.
I did think of another question. When you're talking about the roads and the condition of the roads, the access equipment part of it is the width of the road, of course. But a lot of that's fire breaks, right? Don't you use those for fire breaks?
Roads are fire breaks, but they're no good in the wind. Depending on how hard the wind. I'm assuming you guys get some pretty good winds. You're in southern Utah. And I know what violent storms are like. The storms are violent. They come in hard. They leave you with either flooding or a fire, and then they're gone. And so it's very typical. The best thing you can do is safeguard your home, like we're talking about. And I will bring, I'll get Brent or whoever a stack of these books. It's called FireWise Landscaping, and I'll get them out to you so you can look at them and see. It gives you kind of a demonstration of what you need to do. It's not going to look like your place, but it's going to look like something you can get done.
Okay. Thank you for coming.
Could you give me a date of when you might have an HOA where I could come and show those videos?
Have you guys set the date for the annual meeting yet?
It's the second. When do we usually do that?
Second Saturday in September.
Be the ninth. Would that be okay if I had a 30 minutes on your agenda and show you some of these videos? And
I think we'd like to have the information. We probably wouldn't make it a part of our official meeting, but either sometimes we take a break and have a lunch and videos and stuff could be going.
Flexible, whatever you.
We'll talk about that.
It wouldn't take me 30 minutes if I could get set up. Uh-huh. Are your meetings here?
Yes.
Yeah, right here.
So I the video might not be able to do it. I could do it on that wall.
Okay.
But I'll put something together.
All right. Real good.
And the board has your contact number.
Pardon me.
I believe Brent has his information.
I have my email.
We want Mariah right there to make sure she has
this. Is Mariah. Okay. Yeah. I also have been. Mariah, you're on my.
She brings the wind. She's the one who spreads.
I'm responsible for the wind. And today we're doing okay.
Okay, good.
Mariah spreads the fire.
Well, I'll go back right now and I'll put together what my mental notes are of everything that I heard and saw today. I'll send Brent and Mariah a new copy. And then I'll also start talking with Spencer about getting something educational-wise. Maybe we just do a table during your homeowners association that you could come over and we could talk to you a little bit about things. We could have a laptop playing the video, something like that.
That sounds good.
Would that be all right?
Yep.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Then we'll now start our official board meeting.
For people to ask. We have the prayer. We're looking for to do the roll call.
So we're going to do the roll call. And Jeff, why don't you know everybody on this end coming around this way? We just need a few more names, possibly.
You need your name?
Amanda Jones.
She's my daughter.
But I have everybody else. Who's on the phone?
This is Barry.
Who's on the phone?
I'm here. This is Vance. I'm here.
Barry and Vance are on the phone. Anyone else?
Michael and Joanne Stallone.
Okay, Stallones are on the phone. Anyone else? Okay. Our minutes. I'll entertain a motion to
thank you, sir.
Accept the minutes or have a discussion on any changes or additions. Are there any changes or additions to the minutes? Then,
Bill,
yeah.
We started the meeting. Suggest that he present his, and he did not get
to. Oh, I kind of did a lot of the time, but if I just have a minute.
Okay. Hang on till we accept the minute, do the minute thing here.
I make a motion we accept the June minutes.
I'll second the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, the board has approved. Barry, you okay on the minutes?
Yep, I'm okay.
Barry's okay. All right. We want to hear what you have to say, but we've already spent an hour, so.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time.
Yeah.
I was just going to suggest a couple things. When I get back, I'll see if I can work out some thoughts coming down here and go back to Colorado. I couldn't be in here, give you guys kind of an idea. So we do have some options. One thing I was going to tell you, like some of the flatland that's easy could be as cheap as like $250 an acre. Now it doesn't grind stuff up, it kind of tilts it in the ground. Sometimes you can do it cheap, but sometimes it's more money where the cost comes from, of course, is in the hills, the mountains, the drop off, stuff like that. But really, it's about getting the fuels off the ground, just around your cabin, 150, 200 feet away that we talked about. The other option besides those two, and if we did it as a group, would be sometimes if you're licensed, which I am, we can lease equipment. That's an option where we can lease stuff to do the work without me being involved as much. But it's better to have somebody with experience on a cab. And doing this work, because we don't want to destroy a lot of our trees. You know, the canopy is what makes this place so beautiful. At the same time, we want to get what's underneath it. But that gives us some options.
I'm sure we're concerned about the grazing areas. I mean, we have, what do you call it?
Brush hog.
Yeah, it's like a brush hog. It basically grinds the wood up like a chipper does, except it grinds it right there on the ground, and it fills it in the dirt as you go.
And so
the tiller, too?
So it kind of, yeah, like some areas it won't go into the ground, some areas it will. But it does. It becomes added nutrient.
So when we brush hog, then we're leaving the grass, and the grass comes up better.
So you're going to have some of those areas in Broad Hollow, the feed has gone to a lot of just June grass and
grass.
So it actually could be brush hogs.
But it might be better to have it tilled.
You'll have a lot more grass.
And you could reseed if that was part of the same thing and plant in, you know, a healthy
All the meadows that we got, even the ones that haven't been planted or taken care of, those are easy to do. And the grass would be really beneficial for the wildlife and other things that come in. And, well, for fire, because then you got a natural break between every mountain or every cedar-covered hill that we have. That's a big one.
Send us your proposals and your estimates.
I'll get it online so people can see it.
Are those big track holes at the beginning of Johnson Canyon, is that the thing that's got that cuts those trees down?
You have one down there that I saw that had that. Yeah.
There's one just like it on the other side of the road.
Oh, is there? Yeah,
that was just curious.
And those things work phenomenal. The cattle went way faster.
They're not loud.
Pulling a cat is way faster. Is that your family?
At least they're not loud.
Chris, are you going to leave your phone number with us today?
I will.
Okay. Did you have a question?
Yeah, I think everything sounds good, but it's all out here. It's like you need to develop fire council, as you had said, and someone go around the ranch to find priorities. And Brent probably has done some of that already, but just to initiate something to present to the homeowners, even at the annual meeting. But fire council and priorities.
Would you be willing to head a fire council, Brent?
I'd be willing to serve on one.
Do you have a suggestion for a head?
Well, let's just do an email thing and we can, you know, find out who's willing to or wants to participate. And then
you make an email for that and let's see if we have some people who want to be on that and then we'll organize.
I can also send that out with our annual meeting information as well, some informative planning this focus on couple.
Thank you.
Anything else?
I was gonna suggest just one more thing.
Okay.
If anybody had questions about how to trim trees, there really is a technique to it. And if you're going to take down a lot of trees, you really should learn about what you're doing before you just start lopping off branches.
It can make your tree sick if you do it wrong.
And then one tree will go into
Do you have a YouTube thing or something to suggest?
I don't, but I mean, if I'm here or somebody asks, I can show people here that live here.
Okay.
Were you still coming up to my place?
Okay, and I'll ask you there.
Yeah, it'll probably be Monday or Tuesday. We may
Doesn't matter when.
Afternoon or day or so.
Alan and I spent about a half hour with him, and he showed us some of the trees that around the ranch that are in danger. They're because of some bad cuts on them and stuff, and where they're at. So,
all right, it
was very informative.
Good.
Is there something kind of simple? That how to lemon trim trees that we could put in the newsletter for individuals if they
you know what I could probably something. Put I could probably put some on Facebook some very simple on how to do like a pre-part cut
I mean that would be the initial phase of getting it worked in and I think that would be good in the newsletter.
Right. Newsletter or possibly if there's a lot of material I mean we have our web page. A ranch site.
One place to put it in.
Yeah.
I'll see if I get something on there.
Okay, very good. All right, then. We're going to move on then.
I actually didn't have cards with me. This is just what fell into the seat. There's a couple of them. People. Yeah, people have them.
Then we'll have our financial report from Jody.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for being here.
I like your company name.
Oh, thank you.
What is it?
I'll be out.
Monkey Business Tree Service.
Okay.
Very funny.
Say hi to your dad.
Yes.
Okay, for financial report. And so if you guys don't know this already, I do my financial report just on the cutoff day of the last month. That way, I can continue on with July's numbers, and I'm not going to mess with July's numbers. I'm just messing with your numbers. So that's when I say we have so much in the bank. That's the last day of the month before. So in the checking account, we have about $96,000, a little bit over that. Our manager's checking account, we have about $1,150. Our savings account is about $12,000, well, $11,500. If you look at the P&L, you'll see we've collected about 98% of our total expected for the year income under the assessment. And we've also, we did have last month, we talked about some past due assessments and liens that have been paid. Now they're accounted for. We did receive another $6,000. Everything looks to be pretty much in line. Of course, I go through all the departments, all the categories, and then Mariah and I try to organize them, make sure they're in the right positions. But everything looks on track. We had the extra expenses this year. We know that we talked about before. And this month we had the H2 chimney relining. And you'll see the half moon clean out. Boy, that looks really good. I had no idea he was going to. It looks like it's a moat around the half moon. It looks really good. So anyway, all those expenses total up, we are just about even with our savings. So we're going to have to be really, really frugal on anything
new.
Even
with our savings, meaning we're going to have to use the savings?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So from what we've projected in our budget and then what we've used outside of our budget, our savings is pretty well going to be.
So were these projects outside of our budget?
Some things were.
The cleaning, Podunk.
Podunk went under roads, so that's part of our budget.
Within the budget.
But like the chimney cleaning, we had that on last month's report. Let me look at that.
A lot to do with headquarters.
All the headquarters remodeling. Let me see what else we have in here.
Has the solar system been installed?
A lot of the headquarters remodeling, I thought we were kind of earmarking under manager salary save that we didn't pay for.
Well,
it wasn't enough.
I knew it wasn't enough for
everything. Yeah, I don't have that.
We should have taken care of it, you know, because we spent about $5,000 in $2,500 for the remodel.
Yeah, we went through this all last.
Yeah, I don't have my notes from last month now.
Okay.
Oh, wait.
All right, that's fine. I can look at this later.
Okay. I have it in my bag. Sorry, I forgot to make sure it is. I have it right here in my notes. I'm trying to look through.
And we decided to spend, well, anyway. We looked at everything and where we would spend a little extra money and what we might use in our savings and weighed all of that out last time. And I don't know if we have a summary of that other than maybe the minutes. But
I kind of wrote a summary in my notes. Let me just get it while we're talking about it.
That might be helpful, yeah.
We had the laundry shed that we didn't budget for. That was $6,800. The HQ remodel was about $5,100. The backhoe tires were $2,000.
The chimney and
the chimney is this month. I just said no, that was not included. The chimney. The chimney got relined, didn't it? Yeah, it's done. That was
about $2,000.
$1,896.07. So with all that adds up, that $11,000 our savings is pretty much. We just have to be really, really careful about whatever else needs done. Of course, you know, we budget under 100% income from assessments because we never get 100%. But so anybody that pays extra and over, and with these liens going out, we might recoup some more, but I'd hate to start spending before we know we're getting. So just keep that in mind as we go through departments and what we're going to do and what projects we still want to do and what needs to be put on a wish list for when something else does come in. But I'd still like to carry something in savings to carry on to next year, hopefully. We don't want to drain our savings account all at one time, but it looks like we might be there kind of doing that.
The balance in savings now is?
The balance in savings now is $11,543.
However, none of that. I haven't transferred over money yet to cover those expenses that were coming from savings, so it's still sitting there.
So another thing I wanted to bring up that we did, we ordered hats, ball caps and T-shirts last year to bring in money, and I don't have a tally yet on what we brought in or what we helped attributed to the budget, but I'm going to take an inventory after today's meeting or tomorrow and see what we've got left, then maybe perhaps order more because they sold really well. I know the hats blew out of here. I know. Where's Brent? Were those tubs very big when you brought them over here, the back stock? The back stock tubs with the hats and the...
Collected them. Very many hats left and shirts.
Just tub of each?
Just the tubs. I didn't know.
So two tubs?
Two tubs.
Okay, so there can't be very many left. So I want to propose stuff like this, maybe like if we have enough that hasn't sold, little visors. Of course, these will say Deer Springs Ranch. I can order those in. I just brought these for ideas for you guys. These run, about $5.75 a piece. That one for $12.99, $13.99, something like that. So we make profit in the store. Found these really cool ladies cowboy hats. Sorry, men, but these wouldn't be good for you.
I want one.
Use one.
Aren't they pretty, though?
And you, Phil?
I'm thinking if we want to get pricing on those. I just want to bring these up so you guys can see them and see if this is something we want to start maybe adding to the store and also giving you guys time to get used to being in the store and what's going on there. Where's my price on these? I think they're like $6 a piece or something like that. I forget. I thought I would have been here if I didn't. And then things like, they're called numbskull ice towels. You soak them in water and you put them around your neck. I mean, how many times out here have we needed that? So just some ideas that might generate some income in the store. And if anybody has any objections or discussion on this, I would like to take the inventory this weekend and then start ordering for the store.
I make numbskulls every day in my office.
And that would be the end of my financial report, unless anybody has any questions.
What's the time frame that you can get something like this?
These hats are in stock right now. The custom ones, I can get these pretty quick, but 3 weeks, so it'd be next month before I could bring them up. And I try to bring them up.
Could you have them for the annual meeting?
Could be, yeah. Yeah, if I get on it right away when I get home, which I could do.
I think at the annual meeting we ought to, sell our store idea. Just we'll mention it anyway, so that'd be good.
And also, the hats that we had last year, if we're low on those, I think the shirts are still good. We still sell the same shirt that Joe has on. Unless you guys want to do a new design. New design costs more. We have to have a graphic artist do the design. But if those are good, I can have them printed on different colors, different T-shirts. And the hat. Thank you, Joe, for modeling.
I have somebody in town who was just a tourist.
Oh, here, Joe.
Man, that's $2. I like that.
Are you guys all agreeing that those shirts are good and keep them, just redo more if we need more?
And what's nice is, isn't that the red dirt one or something?
It is red dirt.
I've washed that numbers of times, and you see the color still there.
Yeah.
So it is lasting. It really didn't shrink a whole lot. Like the maybe bring mine back and get a color one. It might shrink. But anyway, that we bought last year and it's been washed and still good.
Now, the ball cap that Joe has on, you see, and I can reorder those too, except for the hats have changed. They're out. They don't make the ones that have the ostrich-looking bill anymore, which is really, I know, that's the coolest hat.
Yeah.
I can get them in different colors. I might be able to get it in a black hat with the ostrich, but I'm not sure if they still have any of those left. Anyway, I'd like to reorder some hats, and I brought a catalog. If anybody wants to look at the catalog after the meeting.
I have two of those. I can't find either one of them.
Obviously.
And do you guys, like, again, this is the logo, so do we keep the logo and make a new hat?
No, that's good.
Good.
Try to keep, okay.
That's good.
Be consistent with what we got. All right, so I'll try to get some more done.
Black ones or whatever with that
ostrich.
I'd like to get the ostrich. It might have to be oiled something, but anyway, I'll look at it and see what we got and some more, because they sold really good that first year, and we had, I was so pleased. Everybody was wearing them at the meeting, so.
You just sold one for $100.
Oh, sold a hat for $100? For us?
No, for their.
Oh, good. Wow. Expensive hat. All right. So that was.
Are we buying? Deer Springs is buying these from your store?
No, Deer Springs is buying them directly from the company. I order them because I do wholesale with these companies already. So Deer Springs has their own account.
So this is your supplier that.
Yeah, and then to save the shipping, I just bring them up. They ship them to the store, and I just bring them up for you, so it doesn't cost the shipping.
You know what's the name of the?
I've got a whole bunch of vendors that. Okay. Yeah, and I try to go with who's the easiest to work customs with and who's the cheapest, but who puts out a good product.
We thank you for your expertise.
Well, I look forward to that.
So I better get on it right away, huh?
Yeah. So you're done with the financial report?
I
any other questions on the financial report? Okay. Alan's been waiting all morning for this part.
Just to give you thanks for the washer, all those contributors.
Is it in?
Yeah, Ben.
Yeah, good.
We're keeping good. Up. We don't have one little bag out there, so.
So it's got good capacity. Yeah.
What's like a three loader or a two loader?
Just big.
No. Yeah, just big.
I'm about to come in.
Here?
No.
Then oh, okay.
Because we had to have a drain area for it to drain and stuff.
Yeah,
so.
Laundry.
Yeah. Okay.
You bet. You have some laundry, too.
Oh, now, don't you just start charging for that? More income.
Anyway, thank you for it. That made a world of difference.
Okay.
And you're putting in shelves in the new laundry?
Yes. Yeah. Off the tables. Holding in the towels. Or I got a table out there we both in.
Can you talk about some of the areas that you've cleaned up around the ranch house?
I haven't done Samson.
Yes, you have. That whole area is gone. That whole area is gone. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Over there?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Candy. I was waiting for Mr. John to say something.
Oh, I noticed that.
He just walked over and just goes, huh.
And then Joe tells me when he went to go see the laundry, you cleaned that whole area back out. Yes, you cleaned out some of the area over there between the 40-foot.
There's a lot of places
foot,
around here that you couldn't get into before that you now can.
Yeah.
Next. Thank you, Candy. Thank you.
Do you have any other, do you have, from your vantage point, do you have needs or projects or things that you might suggest that we'd be keen to or understanding or helping you with,
yeah,
or anything like that?
Right now, the biggest thing is that's such an eyesore. If I can, and I apologize if you gave me the okay on that, because those compressors, they just don't work, and it's hard for me to go throw something away. But we need to do something so I can get that other bay cleaned out, that carport. And if I have your okay, I'm gonna just go through and what's good is good. I'll find a place.
Okay. I don't think anybody on the board objects to him using his good judgment to throw that stuff away that it's not working or that
you know
we don't need.
It's worthwhile.
So.
Something good will tell you. But I do have one suggestion.
Yes.
I suggested to Peter that I went over there and I was looking at the washing machine. I noticed it's very hot in there.
Okay.
And I suggested to her, maybe she hasn't told you, I'd like to see you next time you go to Home Depot to pick up two big 4-foot cylinders. Cut in right by the machine, that container, and put one window there and put one on the opposite side down there to get breath through there, because it takes your breath away when it's hot in there when you're working. Now that's my suggestion. Anybody have any objection to that? Well, once this door goes in, got that cleaned up, the dog panel's gone, and
cleaning that out. That window that's right there can go in there. Can go right there, so we'd just... And there's
windows.
Some other ones around, so I can get
we
another small one to
get
to circulate.
Going through there because I was in there with her, and she was working.
Rita, you didn't tell me that.
I did, too.
She was
no,
working.
You didn't tell me that.
I know.
John.
You're the boss of the house, and women are as good as they're told, but I'm here's the nice guy, the wife. I'm going to say she needs air.
Okay.
Okay, but you're saying that we got one window there and maybe some other that you
yeah
could
I
do.
Think there's I can look
okay.
around here and find
very good.
To get
that's a good suggestion, John.
But that one's got to come out for the door to go in anyway.
Okay, good.
That back door.
All right.
Also,
then.
He's got Brent and Nelson and Alan. They've taken some parts off of the grader.
Yeah.
Got it in my Jeep. I'll take them to Vegas. John Deere dealer.
So yeah,
they can get some parts to get them fixed.
Brent and Joe, they fixed that brush hog. He welded. You guys are all doing a lot, don't you?
I have a question. The guy that's picking up the windmill for me, is the Kubota or something working to help to load it onto a trailer? Anything here? We got a backhoe, too, don't we?
Got the backhoe? You got
yeah,
the
yeah. We're still trying to work on the other end, and once that's arranged, I'll give you a call, and you just would need somebody to load it onto his long trailer.
He's just got a big flatbed.
Yeah. I mean, rather than him bringing up equipment to load it, I said, I'm sure we can load it.
Just one end and have him back up here and lift the other.
He's imaginative, but I'll let you know.
And he's also been working to fix all the screens that we've been needing to have done for the cabin.
Mm-hmm.
He's working on the screens, putting those back in. Well, this is what I want you to do. I want you to tell the board kind of briefly things that you've been touching on and working on. Therefore, we know what else needs to be done. Or what, as Phil said, your priorities in terms of what else you see needs to be done.
So
that's what I need to hear from you.
We just want to make sure you have the time, help, means, whatever to do that. So.
I used to have Paul get details of what he's done at the time. But you can just let him know what he's done. Because I don't follow around and based on everything.
How about if
I
we...
I don't know. What about the laundry room?
I got to... I'm just going to be honest with you. All fast because I'm not one to do that.
It makes everybody accountable and the board and all of us accountable to the members
yeah.
to know all the things that you are accomplishing, which you are.
So
it may not be visible to the eye. Where do you have accomplishments that the members
are? So we can tell you're not a bragger, but...
And the thing is you're doing a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
So I would propose that each of us in our individual areas, as he does work in those areas, and we find out it, we make a note of it, and then we can report to some of the things and help him. He's not going to tell us what he's done. And once you pull a weed out, nobody notices if the weed is gone. They only notice
right.
if the weed is still sitting there.
Yeah.
And believe me, there's a million things that we'll never know that happen around here. That are getting done.
Yeah.
Pull a weed a day and they'll all be gone.
I don't think so. This is okay, Jody, let's go on to legal, let's see, the rules and regs of the camping thing and the Western Trails, all of that stuff.
Okay. Well, we did finalize the rules and regs last meeting or approved that was our final at that point. And, of course, things that came up after that, they're like, okay, do we change it? But right now, she does have it posted on the website. She emailed it to Vance, the final draft. So it's posted on the website. So we have that done. Now, are you Ken? You're not Ken? Okay, I thought Ken was here. Okay. All right, a little confusing. After the last meeting, I think we did the emails after talking with Ken that came. We did some talking. We made an agreement, or we hashed around. And then it went through the emails, and then we hashed around some more. So the
But it boiled down to where we thought $5 a person.
Yeah, we were going to do.
Found out there weren't
going to
be that many people, blah, blah, blah.
We ended up doing, well, we had five of the board members, four or five of the board members saying that we agreed, this is through the email, that it was going to be $5 per person, and we were just going to charge the customers, not the staff, not the support crew, just the customers for doing their overnight camping here outside the gate.
And they liked that.
That was good at the time. And like we were having a board meeting now. Ken was having a board meeting that night or the next night. So he said that sounded pretty good. So he would take it back to the board.
We're talking about Western Legends.
Correct. I'm sorry. I missed that. So he would take it back to their board and see if that was going to be agreeable. And he thought it sounded pretty good at the time. So I was kind of waiting to hear back from him on what their decision was at that time, which would have been just before we came up for this meeting. I didn't hear back from him, so I called him on Wednesday, saying, hey, I'm leaving out of town. I won't have a phone. I need to know what you guys' decisions you guys have come to. And he said that the mileage wasn't working out very well and that they really wanted something that was like 15 miles a day is what they were looking for. So basically what they have decided at this point, and they had a board meeting last night, which I have no idea what the outcome of that. But, you know, first, you know, I don't know how this was communicated to them in the first place, but originally they were under the impression, both two people I talked to, Ken and another guy named Jeff Nichols, who is the wagon train master, both of them thought it's going to cost, that they were, we told them it was going to cost them thousands, and Jeff apparently told them it ain't going to happen. So, which led them to, I guess, search out Dale, or you gave them Dale's phone number or something.
Now, I have went through this, and I sent you an update of what happened in the communication via email. You're screwing up the story.
I'm not screwing up the story, because I talked to these people directly, Jeff.
Well, let's do this. You finish explaining, then let's listen to your. I don't know that we need to fight over what happened, but
that wasn't the point of what
Jeff's,
I was doing.
For Jeff's,
it's not
sake.
For my sake or anything. You assigned me to take care of a project. I take care of it. I reported back to the board. People outside of the board got involved, and then all of a sudden now it's changed.
No, okay, back up. They were told. I got a phone call from Mike Duvall that was a member here. He happens to know Ken Nichols very well. They talked about it, and they were just talking to his buddies and saying, hey, we tried to do this at Deer Springs. It didn't work. What do you know? What? Not even can you help us out, but what do you know? Mike could say, I've got friends on the board. I know people up there. Let me talk to them and see what's going on. So Mike Duvall called me and told me. I said, well, what happened, Jordan? I said, well, I don't know what happened. Here's what we were proposing to them. But apparently, and this was after we got Jeff's email that they weren't going to do this anymore with us. And so he said, call this guy and talk to him because this is the wagon master. He wants to know. I called him. I'm just following the line here. I called him and he's the one that says, well, no, we were told it's going to cost us thousands and it was not going to happen. Then I talked to Ken. He said, call Ken. We had a good hour and a half discussion. I've got this recorded, by the way, if we need any proof of this. And then I talked to Ken for another hour. And he said the same thing. So between what we said over the emails, and yes, when we make a decision over the email, we all know it's not going to carry if we don't have 100% agreement. We know that. But we had enough of agreement to say, hey, this is a possibility. This could happen. We could vote on it at the next meeting. So they should have been told we decided it would be about $5 a person. It would end up costing them about $240 to $500. But anyway, that's off the table at this moment. Because when he called me back the other night, he said, we've decided to use the Clarkson Ranch, which I'm assuming is 164. I'm not sure of that. But that seemed to be worked out right where the 15 miles would be for them to do the first wagon train night stay. I'm like, okay, I get that. So now what they're asking from us is to allow the support vehicles and the people that are riding horseback that are going to have their trailers and their trucks to stay in the same parking area that we were talking about before over there when you come through the gate on the right-hand side past the big ditch right there in that pasture. They wanted to bring their rigs there and park there They're going to stay, the customers and the wagon trains will be up at the Clarkson property. They would stay down here, and then the next day, they would come down here for lunch on the way through. At the beginning time, when they were going to stay at the ranch, they were going to have lunch here. The caterers would already been here, and they're paying for the caterers. The caterers have their own tables and chairs. They were going to do the setup. But now, since the caterers are going to be doing over at the Clarkson place, he would like us to set up, have this set up here with our tables and chairs for the lunch the next day. So I said, well, all right, I'll take it back to the board. And so I'm bringing it back to you. That's what they want to do now, that the change of plans. And we need to figure out, well, I don't think we need to figure it out. We just need to come to an agreement on it, is what we want to charge them to do this, because we do have it in our rules and regs. It's $10 a vehicle to park or to camp for the night. So I'm thinking all those rigs over there, which I think he said was going to be about, this is based on his thoughts for numbers, 20 to 24 rigs over there that would be camping in their own trailers, like horse trailers they're built for living in or camper trailers. So I'm thinking we charge them the $10 a night to do that. They're only staying one night. And then a $3 per person fee for using the site here, which is already in our rules and regs, a site fee. Because now, and I'm not talking paying customers, I'm talking the whole lot of them, because now ranch manager time is going to be spent setting up, breaking down, which we weren't anticipating the first time.
What are they going to set up?
Tables and chairs.
Do we have that many tables and chairs?
Well, depending on how many people they bring, Tim, like, well, we can't, I don't think we have 75 tables and chairs for 75 people, do we?
No.
So we probably have enough for what? 45, maybe, max?
You've seen it at our annual board meeting as well. We got, and a lot of it is the picnic benches and stuff. Are they going to use this for lunch area?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. That's the new suggestion, so they have to get this approved by their board again.
See, could I say, sure. I'd probably talk to you individually. I'm guessing 12, 13 different lot owners, and every lot owner I've talked to thinks it'd be a good thing to support this. They don't have any problems with it coming through. I mean,
well, understand, Doug.
I think, Brad, but all of us through the email system, we pretty much almost have a unanimous decision that we're going to go ahead and support this. As long as it's not costing our ranch any money, if they're going to use our showers and facilities.
That won't be in play this time.
But they want to, I say we allow them and just charge them a $10 shower fee and give them a towel. I mean, that's pretty good money we're making off of some water, hot water and a towel.
And
be hospitable to them if they want to use it. And if they don't, then nobody pays. And just support these guys and let them come through.
As a treasurer, I can't support that because we have an obligation to these members. And this is an outside group. It's commercial.
No, that's what I'm saying. The obligation we have to the members comes from the members, not from us who sit on the board. And I'm talking to the members. And I probably have at least a 5% that I personally talk to of the membership who all want this.
We all want it. That's not a question. But it's a commercial group. It's a commercial entity coming in here.
But
it needs to be for supporting them.
It's a county group with the commercial entity coming through the group.
This is for profit group.
Yeah, the wagon train guys are going to make, but the county loses money as they do this whole big event to support the county and all the businesses. It's a lose money for the county itself. But yeah, individual people that they have are going to make some money if you're going to come and sell hot dogs or drive wagons or anything else. And I heard
you say $10 or something, and I heard you say $10 or something. Maybe you're talking the same amount of money.
I think we're really close on that. I don't think it needs to be a set fee if they're not using anything. If they're going to use our showers, fine. Let's just say, hey, there's a shower fee and there's a towel.
Well, okay.
Got it.
You know, we're not going to stand there and count how many people go in there and take a shower. I think if they have 50 people here for the group event right here, $3 a head, we're done. They tell us ahead of time what's coming in. We know it. We're done. We don't have to sit there and count numbers. Same thing with the parking out there. How many ever come in? He tells ahead of time how many rigs he's going to have. They pay it for us. We're done. And those people that are coming out camping in those rigs, wherever they park the rigs, they're going to pay. So I don't think that's going to be an issue there. So $10 a head if they park out there, $3 a head to use the site here. Fair and reasonable.
It's not reasonable.
It is reasonable.
They can pull right over there, right on Deer Springs property. I'll show you the map right here. This section right here.
totally legally park right over there, I don't know, 300 yards from where they want to park for free.
Okay. Then we have the
Greg say $10 for
free. But why would we
okay,
get
here,
a concession?
Here's why we might make a concession. Yes, we have our rules and regs. And we have outside commercial things sometimes want to do something, and we have an amount we would charge them. The point that you got me thinking, Brad brought out is,
Brad. I can ask him to come over.
This is sort of like a patriotic thing. That's the way I see it. The whole area, we belong in Kane County. Kane County's trying to bring in tourists and have this event, and this is a very unusual thing, you know, this wagon train thing, and this where it gets gray is whether the wagon train's making money or not, these guys, but... On one hand, I agree with Fred.
The wagon train is doing it to make money. That's not a great. Completely right. It's a commercial venture within the whole Western Legend, which is a county thing, which is what we're trying to support here, not necessarily the wagon train guys.
So to some extent, I see some charges. To some extent, I think this is where we would bend as a community effort, being a part of King County, being a part of wanting to see the Western Legends thing succeed. That's where I think we could bend, and it's not the normal hardcore commercial bike riders coming in here and doing our trails and all of that stuff. But then I see him. I'm just trying to sort this all out. Brad's talking about it's okay to charge for a shower. The difference is then Jody wants to charge not just for a shower, but to park.
Camp on our dirt.
Camp on our stuff here. Mm-hmm. And that's the gray area where you got the commercial thing, but we're trying to support the effort.
But I'm not...
So maybe, just like Congress, let's divide this up in different parts that we can agree upon. Okay, so we can't agree upon a charge for taking showers.
Can I say one thing? My point is, I agree, that is my personal opinion. But it also is the opinion of like 5% of our voting membership of the ranch now that I personally talk to. It's their opinion also. And so I'm a voice for all those people who I've talked to individually who have supported that. I'm not just telling you, hey, this is what I think sitting on the board and whatever.
Now I have to say something to that. Those 5% or 15% that you talk to, I get that. We all want it here. That's okay to do. We all would like it. We all would like a swimming pool here. But that doesn't mean that it's going to, they don't know how it affects the budget or what income that we need from it. But the other thing is, the Western Legends has been a profitable event for, I've been coming here for 15 years. I used to go to it every year. They're making a profit on it. This new venture of the wagon train, yes, they used to do it, and they used to go through the Gunsmoke place and do a thing like that. They're not doing that anymore because Gunsmoke, apparently, you know, it's down to the ground. It's a commercial venture. They're making a profit. The wagon train... people are going to get paid, of course. This part of this adventure might not make a profit this year, but it's the first year they've done it. Anytime that you do a new group function in any kind of event, you're never going to make a profit the first year. It's going to take you 3 years to make a profit. But we as an association that is needing the income, I don't think it's a proper thing for us to do, say, okay, well, just because we want you guys to succeed and we want to see it here, we're not going to charge you for it because it impacts the ranch and they are using the place. And then we set a precedent for other groups to come in. So where do we draw the line? Like, who's going to pay? Who's not going to pay?
Okay. Let's, John raises his hand and then,
Sandy.
Sandy. Okay.
Well, I got, something I don't think I'm clear on. When you say $10, is that for person or for
vehicle?
Per vehicle.
Because okay. I thought $10.
Say per vehicle.
Real excessive.
It says $10. Non-members will pay $10. It doesn't say per person or per vehicle.
Let me find that.
That's why I want to divide this up into parcels and agree on something and then
not have to agree on the whole package.
Here. Now, I read something I thought on the email.
That was part of all that stuff up there. This is a new proposal.
Yeah. Well, I know. But as far as the money is concerned, I read something about they might be buying sodas and shirts and hats or anything from our store there.
Sodas and water.
Well, that's profit making.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a lot.
It's not a lot,
but you never know what a lot or a little is presented out there. So there's another way if we bypass something to make a little money. So I'm throwing that out. I quit.
Well,
I look at it in terms of the pack. Desert Fox was out here, all of the motorcycles. It wasn't a large amount, but there was amount because they did use our van. Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, church groups. This is membership-owned land plus individual.
Those are different kind of groups. Huh?
But the fact is, there was a charge there, even though they're not for profit or non-profit. The key here is, if the ranch makes a little bit of money, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
I'm thinking instead of, like we had proposed before, instead of saying $3 for this one, you got to get a count and 10 over here, throw out an amount. Now, if this is being set up out here, who's doing it? Vita and Alan. Their time means something to us because they can't do something else when they're doing this. And then they got to take it all down. Then there is perhaps garbage or whatever, and selling in the store. I don't think it should be on the backs of anybody as a member, but I believe that the ranch shouldn't just give everything away because the ranch does have a budget. If we made $100 or whatever, that could go towards something else that we're thinking about doing. And if you think about it, each one of us is where we gave $100 for the washing machine. That could have been something towards something else. So my personal opinion, and I hope that it counts as everybody else does too, we're not for profit, but we're not here to give the salary either. And we do it on a regular basis for other individuals. So I see it where it's just going to help our people that are working it as well.
And perhaps we should say that this stuff about tables and chairs, that we are not a caterer. You know, we don't have that. We don't have those things. We don't have 100 chairs in a closet somewhere. We have this kind of stuff, which is fairly
usable.
And so that part, we got to say, no, you need to hire a caterer. They can drag out here their tables and chairs and set up for you and cater to you.
My understanding is they got to move along everywhere, so they have to have a caterer at some place.
Doing that
already
anyway.
Set up every place that they go anyhow, so I don't think this is an issue.
So,
well, I guess it was because he wanted to have that. Like, well, you have a caterer with you. Why can't he just set up here? Well, we'd like you guys to do that. Like,
we'll just have to tell him we don't.
Yeah, okay, so I can do that and tell him they can eat here, but they're going to have to supply their own tables and chairs.
Set up and clean up, and if we do have to clean up behind them, there'll be a fee involved. If their wagon gets away and takes out a fence, there'll be a fee involved. I mean, they have to pay their way through, but we don't have to necessarily, you know, try to make a profit on their way through as they're coming through on their wagon train, as long as they're paying their way through.
So as it boils down, I see your side objecting to charging to park, and I see these other guys thinking we should charge them to park here.
Those Who are the other guys? Maybe we should put it to a vote.
Sam, I mean, I think that's the emotional side of things.
So you want to make it no charge at all for these people?
No, I want them to pay for what they use. If it costs us to have them here, I think they're happy to pay their way. Because you know what? They're going to want to come through next year. This could be kind of a neat thing. People could even, we could tie a wagon to them, or hitch our star, so to speak. We could use their caterer once a year and say, hey, guys, guess what? We're going to have Western Legends come through here. And anybody in the membership, if you let us know, we'll make a reservation. You can come down and camp or stay in a cabin and then have entertainment here or, you know, some things that would be pretty cool. And a lot of people want to see happen. Have happened, but we don't want to be
nickeling and diming them for...
I'm not interested in making a huge profit. I like to just break even so it doesn't cost any money. We're going to charge the Mormon Church to spend 3 days up in the meadow. They're a non-profit, and we got a commercial company. They should pay something. At least we break even. If we're not doing that, we're setting precedents, and we're making a fool out of this board.
Well,
our
responsibility
to the members. 25, maybe? So the number has decreased tremendously.
Well, we're not talking about that group anymore. We're only talking about the support group parking right out here, 20 vehicles. Maybe.
And we're talking
about the support group in ranch headquarters.
You got to vote for
them. Well, they won't be in the ranch headquarters.
And you just said.
Well, they're not here.
They're in the pasture over there past the front gate. Not this gate. The one out there, the big gate.
Outside here.
You know what the big head frame thing is?
Main gate.
The main.
Northwest of the gate.
So for the picnic?
Pasture on the north side of the road.
Okay.
Or west side of
the road. Out in that area. Yeah.
Out of curiosity, what if even if they did pull over here, what's the issue?
Well, the last count was 30 units or 30 RVs or 30 tractor or trucks and trailers all coming down in here and trying to find space to park. That's the support group we're talking about. There's no need for them to be in ranch headquarters.
Well, I think I misunderstood there, but if they're parking out here, that's a whole different
thing. That's totally different. If they're up there above, that's fine.
Yeah, up there and to the left.
On the place that we sealed all of that dirt and it won't grow anything.
Is there...
North of the Poliwag.
Yeah.
Does that north of that
guard hangar right where the outlet is?
Is that fence openable?
At some point, the board used some chemical out there to try to maybe kill rabbit brush or something, but that hardly grows anything right there in that test site. And
I'm confused about which area you're talking about. Right by the wooden gate out here.
Yeah, go out to Scootenpah, turn left over the cattle guard, and then
wait. How far out? I don't know of any road. Okay,
Scootenpah.
Scootenpah.
Oh, the main Scootenpah Road. Okay.
Yes.
Go out to the ranch gate, cross the cattle guard, and pull off on the right.
Take right. That road there.
And then no road.
No, on the right, on the left.
Where the cattle usually are when you pull in there, the longhorns are always...
So on the left side?
It's just
on the south side of the road or the north
right,
side?
North side.
The north side, not left.
Not what he was explaining to me. I could be wrong.
He wants to come into the gate and then park out in this parking area over here.
I thought he had in mind what, from the visual I got from him when he was talking, was right where the great big wooden head frame is. You turn right past it, that pasture right there. But I was like, I don't even see an entrance there, but there is a white part of a fence, like 8 foot, that I thought maybe that could be open. That's what they're thinking about driving through there.
No, what I understood was from your description, here's headquarters where we're sitting. You come back out and go up the road to Scootenpah. If you turn right, you go up the hill. To the airport.
Yeah.
You turn left, you go through a fence over a cattle guard, and then you go out towards the west side of the ranch. Right there is a big pasture right across from the Poliwag ponds.
On the right.
On the right. It's just vacant. There's nothing out there.
Well, we can just tell them
stipulate
that.
Sure, we can tell them.
Solve that problem right now.
The left side of the right side. That's where we want them to park. That's where we want them to park.
But my biggest concern is, having the wagon train come through by itself and having that be the main event, that's what people want to see, is the wagon trains, the horses and everything. They don't want to see this entourage of 30 RVs, trucks, trailers, all kinds of other things, shower trucks and water trucks coming down behind it. So if you're going to go take pictures, you don't want to see all this other stuff. You want to see the wagons in a big circle, there are events going on, whatever.
Well,
not all the entourage.
So if they're doing lunch, do the wagons come in here in circle?
No.
That's what the original.
No, the wagons
will be
coming over Dale's place. They won't see that at all. All they'll
see
is the
wagons.
What about
lunch? They'll be coming right down here and pulling in and having lunch.
No, they'll just park them on the side of the road there and then have lunch in here. They're not going to bring those in here.
Why not?
I doubt that. That's what they, I wouldn't want to do that if I was them.
They're going to pull right in, circle their wagons while they're doing it on the rest of the thing, and the guys are going to get out and they're going to eat their lunch. And
that's what
we're going to sell them some T-shirts. And
that's what they told me.
And some Cokes. And they're going to get back in their wagons, and they're going to roll right back out and head down.
Now they're going to use the corral, too.
Well, that was the original plan. I don't know.
They're so unorganized.
Like Jeff was put in charge of it, so I don't know of anything else.
Well, let's just say what we would like. We want all the support vehicles, where we just talked about,
I don't see any problem with their wagons making a circle in here, leaving all the support vehicles there.
You mean over in that area?
Yeah.
The meadow over there?
Yeah. That's where they want to be, and then they have lunch right here. That's the logical way that they want to do it.
They also wanted to put the 50 horses in the Ramada in the corral.
Yep. Is that doable? Is their corral up to the hell
with them? 50 horses? There's several corrals out there.
Yeah.
Well, if you think that's doable, I think that's doable. Let's decide what we want them to do, and we'll tell them, take it or leave it then. Okay, so now does that sound doable to everybody? We're not talking about charges now. We're just talking about logistics.
Yeah, that sounds doable.
Does that sound doable that way? Okay, now let's talk about charges or not. That's the hot item. That's the hot item here.
Are the horses going to
be there? Are you still there? Did you say anything?
Just for lunch?
Just for lunch.
Okay. They're gonna.
And a lot of times they just run a rope anyway, so they might just run a rope and tie them to a rope.
50
horses. If they want to put horses in the corral,
that's the place to put them.
We don't have any problem with putting them in the corral, but typically people don't mix strange horses like that and just throw them in.
Yeah,
the
I know.
These guys are going to know how to handle their stock, and they're going to. This is not if they're first rodeo.
Well, okay,
rope.
All right. Okay, here's an issue that you can get into when you do this. Yes, the group that has the horses, from what I understand, the horse riders are single. They're all different entities. Some of them are paying to do this trip with them. So you get these 50 different horses from different houses or families out here, and you're going to have them strapping up here, 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 and that's going to be a safety issue for anybody down here to remember.
We will designate. We're not going to have them put their horses right out this fence right here.
They will do it if they haven't been told. Okay.
We would tell them.
Okay.
That's exactly it. We're telling
them. And they can put lines up somewhere.
Where? Over there, the furthest away.
As long as they get out of it. When Jeff tells them that.
Okay. So let's go back to logistics. We found we weren't quite understanding. And who's going to communicate this to them? Jeff, are you still willing to do that? If we give
you
want to
do it or you
want
to.
Or do you want to?
Well, I haven't had any communication with them since Jody got involved.
Okay.
So when I sent the last email to the board saying, okay, this is where we are, they were going to have a board meeting. They were going to vote on it. They came back to me and said, we're not paying that for our per-person charge. So they said, we're done. We're going to go other alternatives. I haven't spoken with anybody from the DSO.
I think if we're talking to Jody, who's in communication with them right now, I'm going to move that responsibility from you. Okay? All right. And let's say you got a piece of paper?
Yeah.
Let's write down the logistics exactly as we can. They're able to park their support group stuff out there on that where we agreed upon. Okay?
What if they want to come and park in here?
There's not room for
them. If they have all the wagons, I don't see how that's very good. And it won't look good either.
No, let's not do that.
When they come down for lunch, then the guys will be in the road.
Tell them to carpool for lunch to come down here.
Well,
fewer vehicles.
Understand the logistics.
Okay.
If the logistics worked out and they fit in there, is there a problem with them being there?
Vehicles are staying overnight there. I don't think they're going to be moved. Once they're parked there at camp, I don't think there's any intention of moving them.
You mean over here?
Okay, over here.
To
me, my brains are...
You're scrambling.
So
I'm just having a hard time understanding the difference between here and there.
But that's okay, Brad, I'm saying...
I'll tell you what I think the difference is. That's cool. This, picturesque-wise, I wouldn't want to see a bunch of rigs and campers and crap all through there. I'd want to see just the wagon train.
And
maybe the horses.
We told them they couldn't come in, so they're going to... camp up there now.
Well,
otherwise, that's exactly what we'd be seeing there.
Well, we're going to tell them what we want. They're going to camp their guys up there. They're not camping their wagon train here. This is just for lunch.
No. The campers
are camping up there.
Okay, all right.
This
okay.
is just for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Just for lunch. Okay? Why do you want to have...
I honestly don't care if they camp over there or there, but I think it would be cool if the wagons circled their wagons and we could take some pictures and have that for the ranch. That would be a cool thing.
That would be cool.
But if it didn't work out, does it make a big difference if they were camping over there or over there?
Yeah, we don't want it that way.
Just because you want to see the wagon train circle here?
Yeah.
We should have let them come in here and camp here with the wagon train circle.
They're not camping here. This is just for lunch.
Like, they're coming onto the ranch Monday. They're actually starting up at Tropic. They're coming down onto the ranch.
I know. I talked to them, too. I didn't want to say anything because I want another conversation on here. But they came to headquarters as they toured this thing. And we spent 45 minutes out here talking about what that commercial guys want to do, not the county guys. And that's part of the problem is we're dealing with county guys, and then they have to go back to the commercial guys, and then they have
and
to come back
to us. And the wagon trains are the ones that are causing the confusion.
So it goes back around. But the guys who actually do this and do the work, make the money, put the guys on, came over here.
They're the ones causing the problems. So that's where we have to say, is anybody in charge here?
For real.
We're in charge. And that's where we're going to tell them what we want.
Well, they know we're in charge.
But we're going to tell them what we want specifically. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Okay.
We don't have to argue about it.
That's Monday. I'll volunteer. We won't
store?
Be down there.
You're going to park wagon train?
Cool.
No.
So I volunteer in the store?
Sure.
Cool.
Okay,
we'll need that.
Great. I see a confusion here. I don't know if you guys are confused, but I am.
There's a lot I'm trying to straighten out.
I'm a little
it seems like
this is what I'm understanding. They would come here for lunch with the wagons.
On Tuesday.
Support vehicles would park over there on the other side.
Right.
And that's where they ought to park. They don't need those because that would spoil what they're doing there.
Yeah.
They can hit you right
on
the
wagon.
Outside that gate in the dirt.
We're all fine with that, unless we don't understand what they really want to do, and they
we
want
don't
to do
care what they really want to do.
Different.
We're just telling them what
they're
going to
do
in order to use our facility.
What's available?
There you go.
Yeah. Okay.
They don't want to do what we want to do.
More clear.
We
we're somewhere else.
That.
Because we're kicking it back and forth, and it seems to me like there's a lot of confusion when they're kicking.
Make a motion.
Okay.
You guys are giving me a headache.
I'm going to make a motion on the logistics of this. Nothing to do with what we charge you or not. The logistics is they park their support vehicles, campers, I don't care what it is, over there. The wagon train has permission to come down in here and circle up. And they can have lunch here. But we're not going to provide, we don't have them to provide anyway, tables and chairs. We have a minimal stuff. They're going to have their caterers do whatever their caterers have been doing. Here for their lunch. But we will let them use this area. But we don't, and those guys can, they're cowboys, they can walk from up there down to here. That's a quarter mile. And if they don't like it, they can hop on a wagon. But we don't want, we be specific, we don't want all their vehicles coming down here for lunch.
And the only thing I can see different in there
is the only thing here for lunch,
truck.
This
That's
is reserved
it.
For members of the ranch parking in here. Okay.
Well, one catering truck.
Yeah, and they're catering.
They can
catering
unload
truck.
And then move away and then come back to pick it up.
Real wagon trains didn't have tables and chairs spread out anyway. So anyway, they may want to park everybody, but I don't know. I have a sense of aesthetics. And to me, that's not aesthetic. That's a low-grade trader park area if you turn it into that. So wagon trains only. That's my motion.
I second the motion.
All in favor?
All right.
All right.
Hi.
Hi.
Barry?
Hi.
Oh,
let's get on to the other
Brett?
Thing.
Like get a little sweat off our forehead.
if say, those cowboys are parked up there and they want to come down here and have a shower, we're going to charge them $10.
I second the motion.
Now, are we going to provide towels or not?
For $10, they can have a towel.
They have to
I'll bring
the
towels for $10.
Wait, let's not go to the shower part yet. Let's figure out the cost for the lunch site because if we
we'll get to the cost for the lunch site. This
that
is
that will be affected by that.
No, this is separate. This is just a shower. We figured it costs about $3 for us to provide a shower, the propane to heat the water, $2 to $3. Okay.
What do you normally charge
for a shower? Costs $2 to $3. And you go to a shower place, I bet you costs you $10 or
$5.
I'm fine, says, can I take a shower?
$5 per person per day if shower facilities are requested.
Okay. So
is that with linen?
Well, that's not, I don't think that's making anything. I think
that's just what our rules say.
The commercial guys who are doing the things that they thought that if any of the people wanted to use the shower, they're dudes. They have no problem paying $10 to use the shower.
So be it. Okay.
Now,
okay, like it.
So,
they can pick up a towel in the store, and they get $10 and they get a towel that they can
shower. In the shower.
Right.
And they'll be handing it to you, okay?
They might do that the night before when they're down here. They might be doing it the morning of and waiting for the regulars.
That's a 30-gallon hot water heater in there, right?
Can't do that many people. And you know what? You know what? If they get in there cold,
it's cold. It's money, cold or hot, don't matter.
And it's cold, early bird gets the worm. Okay, so my motion is that we charge them $10 for a shower and we provide a towel. What? Do I hear a second to the motion?
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
All right. Okay, now let's move on to Mary, the parking. Okay? Now we're just talking about the parking over there.
But are they parking or camping?
Both.
Are they staying overnight?
Yeah.
You guys, let's provide good signage.
Well, we don't actually know that.
Yes, we do know.
Do we?
What's happening is Sunday night, where they're staging up above on Lake Tropic, the Tropic Reservoir. They're doing all the camping. All those support groups are all going to be up there. That Monday morning, they get up, and the people that are participating go over to the wagons, get in the wagons, and they start coming south. The support group then loads everything up, drives back onto the 12, comes back around, down the 89, comes out to Johnson Canyon, comes back up, and comes back onto the ranch. Now,
they're not taking the Crawford?
They're not coming down Crawford with trailers and RVs. There's just no way. So they're going to come on the ranch Monday night and be somewhere on the ranch, whether it's up at the north end of the ranch, where that's originally we wanted to do it, right?
We'll just
by
be
the
servicing those guys up by the Clarkses.
But they'll be camping on the ranch sometime Monday. Then Tuesday morning, the people get up, get back in the wagons, and they'll come back down. They wanted to come down and have lunch here, and then leave after lunch and go on towards Mill Creek.
Okay, so there's one night of camp.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so now, for the one night of camp, let's take a straw vote on this first. To park their vehicles down there, we talked about, what, $10 a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Straw poll now. This isn't a motion or anything. How many on the board would want to charge them that $10? Okay. The rest of you do not, then, right?
I was thinking five. But
okay, you're saying, okay. Okay, how many would be willing to charge them five?
To park over here?
Uh-huh, over there.
Overnight.
Overnight.
For wagon?
No, this isn't wagons. This is support groups.
RV just for the camper.
Just camping that night. Joe's talking about five. How many would be okay with five?
And we provide them the space to camp their to pull off.
Yeah, that's just out in the dirt.
Yeah, right.
At Quartzsite, they charge $7 and you got water.
Oh, but my point is, John,
yeah,
it's 100 yards down the road, they can legally pull off.
I know, but my point is that instead of 10, it's 5.
But if we do that,
you voted for 10. I'm going with Joe on 5.
No, he's
$10 for the showers. That's fine.
That's a different thing. This is just the park.
If we do it for free, Brad, then we set a precedence, and everybody that comes through here is going to want it for free. We have to. You make it.
Every wagon train that comes through here?
No, what other group, whether it's a Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, a church group, or
just the park.
Any firm, anybody that comes through here, I don't want to set a precedence and we look like fools.
Okay, Barry.
Okay, well, we want to.
Yes.
I want to give Barry.
I misunderstood the motion.
Are you saying give them free? Because I heard
No.
We're not there yet.
This is a non.
Okay, just a minute. I want to give Barry a chance to talk to us. Barry, give us your word on this.
Well, earlier when we discussed, and I don't know who voted what because I obviously can't see what the straw polls were showing, but I was in favor initially of not charging them, but as the compromise came about earlier, I indicated I was willing to go with $5 per vehicle. So that's basically where I'm at right now, but I don't know what the vote looks like on your end.
The vote to do 10,
like that vote will carry,
was not as good, but it looks like the $5 vote will carry. So I'm going to
I'm going to ask if there's any more discussion on them. I'm going to make a motion, and then we'll, for $5 per vehicle, to park in the designated parking area for the one night. Is there any discussion on that motion?
Sandy? May I?
Discussion on the motion.
Again, I say, don't count the number of vehicles. Don't count the number of people. Just make a flat amount. Therefore, nobody has to worry about how many, where, and who pays or not. If
okay.
If you are 50,
you're talking about 30 vehicles, I think. So I'll revamp my proposal. That's what we've heard. 30 possible. You think it's going to be more?
Well,
anybody have knowledge?
I don't know about
$50 at $5.
But we don't know the final numbers yet, Candy. So
okay,
I hate
well, let's
to put a
let's estimate
on
that. Let's say, what if it were 50-some-odd vehicles? Or we can say up to 40
well,
vehicles, we'll charge this much.
Sunshine volunteered to, she can count.
Well, here's one more thing to think about. These campers that come in, the horseback riders, they might be paying their own fee per night. They might, it might not come out of the general fund. So I'm thinking if we just go around the camper, okay, we need, or I'll tell them they.
That's a lot of more work on our spot. Like,
okay, it is, but.
Go and collect. Let's just charge. I like her idea of just saying a figure.
Okay.
You can park as many vehicles as you want over there for.
Yeah, $200.
I say, yeah, man, $200. $150 if that's
John,
higher or lower.
I was just
going to
say, since we don't know higher or low, just parking over and say $100 to park there, and that's that.
If they had
you got one vehicle or you got 40 vehicles.
If they had
30
vehicles, that's not enough. Because if they had 30 vehicles, that's 150. So it's probably safe to say they're going to have more. Let's estimate up to 40. That'd be $200 flat fee for as many people and things as you want over there.
Is that also include coming down here for lunch?
No, we're not. We're not. That's a separate item. We'll discuss that next.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm saying no.
Okay. So just for parking, it's approximately $5, but we're going to make a $200 use for parking on as many vehicles as they want down in there for that night. That's maybe $5 to $7 a vehicle.
Good.
Okay. So that's my motion.
I'll second that.
Any all in favor?
Aye.
For what? $200.
$200.
Flat fee for $200.
That's a lot of money to park on dirt.
Well, it was going to be $150 if they only had 30. That's $5 a piece, 30 vehicles.
That's closer.
Well, we only got
okay,
three.
The motion doesn't carry.
I'd like to go $150 in there.
Okay, so Joe made that proposal.
We go for $150 for regardless how many people can't park there.
Okay. I'll second that motion. All in favor?
I guess this is our compromise.
Okay, there are one, two, three. John, what are you thinking?
I'll go with it. I still think $100, right?
Okay.
Barry,
did
you
vote?
John, I did not. I was waiting. I agree with John. $100 should cover allowing people to park on the dirt. We're not providing them with services or water or anything, so that's a vote I'll support. If it passed at 150, obviously that's.
It did pass with 150.
I got another suggestion.
No, there were three, and there were four that.
And John raised.
John
raised
his hand. Okay.
John suggested that we beef up the store and have things ready so we actually can make a profit selling hats and shirts and trinkets and baubles.
You might make $50.
I don't think
we're
going to sell half the shirts.
Well,
I think we're going to buy some.
I like the 100 even that I.
So
I bet you could buy hats and or I bet you, I'd be surprised if somebody didn't buy our cool Deer Spring hat.
Don't know how many we have left, but okay.
There's another avenue there because all the stock does need water, and we have a capability of supplying them with water, which they're going to pay for from somebody anyway. Would you just find out?
They are already bringing water trucks.
I know.
Okay, we're on a whole other motion. We got to resolve this motion.
Did we pass that
did
one?
Did you retract your vote?
Yes. Yes, I'd rather.
Okay,
there,
so then. So $150.
Voted
against it. Didn't pass.
We are.
So we're now going down to $100. We're going down to $100.
$100.
Park out there, whatever group they have. Will you make that motion, John?
Yes.
John makes the motion. I second it. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Harry?
Aye.
Okay, the motion passes. Okay, now let's move on to another item. The item of whether or not there should be any charge for using our picnic area. And the only discussion I have is I like Brad's idea of the store. Hey, that's maybe somewhere where we can be neighborly, photo ops, have their wagons in here selling water, candy, whatever out of our store we can, and but tell them we don't have enough tables and chairs. We only have enough for 30 or 40.
I would like to make a motion that we allow them to have their picnic lunch at branch headquarters without a charge, so long as they provide their own tables, chairs, and they clean up their mess afterwards.
And there's a motion made on the floor. Is there any discussion on that motion? Brad?
I think we should stipulate with them that if we do have to clean up and use our labor behind them, then there'll be a fee involved.
Okay. A minimum of?
$150.
Thank you. That's good.
So that'll give them a set up a time. Okay. So the motion has been modified to no charge to park here. They have to provide their own tables and chairs. And add on, if we have to clean up, there's a $150 charge. Are you okay with that addition to your motion, Barry?
Yes.
All right. We have a motion from Barry. Anybody second that motion?
I'll second it.
Okay. Brad seconds the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
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 The motion carries. All right.
Or someone is going to have to stock up the store.
We want to stock up the store. Yeah.
If you're communicating, would you ask them?
What?
About their water.
About the horse's water?
We could provide a trough and have water pumped and hauled to a place, but there's a fee involved, and ask them if they want to.
What would the fee be?
They're already doing it.
They're already doing it, so they're already paying, so they know what it's going to be. Just ask them.
Well, I need to know what the price is to tell them.
They already have a water truck and the...
We'll tell them if we'll do it or not. They already know.
Right.
But the guy's got to come around here, and if they say, well, hey, we can cut this guy out one day and it save us...
Just for here at the headquarters?
Bucks, so we'll give you $100.
Just here at the headquarters?
If you'll provide us a trough, the water, or horse.
At the headquarters.
But yeah, we all got to understand that requires Alan now to do some labor, and so we got to make money on that. They got
so
to pay their way.
That would be $100. Is there any objection? Any objection to that?
We're also making money off of us again. I thought that was a bully.
I'm just saying.
I need to know. Are you talking about
that? Might be a revenue.
Now you say.
Are you
now
talking
you
about
our true color?
Yeah,
I'll
down
say
yes.
Damn white people.
Anybody?
He's not answering me. So I'm not trying
to. No, I'm not. He can easily drive up to the top of the wherever they're going to camp up there in the other lot and with the trough and. Not easily. There's labor involved.
Oh, you're talking about way up there.
Oh,
I'm just saying, let's explore the option, and if it's worth it, we'll do it. If it's not, we won't.
Okay, then this is going to require a motion since this is such a hot thing. Make your motion, clarify it as much as you can.
My motion would be that we have Jody investigate the possibility of the ranch making an income on hauling water for this venture. And if it's a profitable income, then we consider the option of taking them up.
And what would we charge?
Way more farther away up there for him to go, and more time for him to go than here. So
we'll have Jody bring to us a number after she.
Why are we? Where are we hauling water to?
Nowhere.
I
might be hauling water anywhere. I'm saying,
okay,
it wouldn't be that hard for us to haul water, and it might be beneficial. Officials for the ranch to make some money by actually providing a service, which would be haul water to them. We can do it. We have the technology, the capability, and if it's financially, and now we're talking a whole different deal now, they're going to pay that to have that happen anyway. And so they'll be able to tell you.
To have that happen.
We can make a motion and say, we want to make $1,000 to haul you water, but it's going to cost them $500, so they're just going to say no. So just, you're... If you're going to talk to them,
Just ask him about it.
I already asked him.
And?
I already talked to him about it.
Oh, you already got her.
But she could ask them. You know, they're coming to the ranch before. I'm saying, and it might not be anything, but I'm just saying, ask them.
Bogus to me.
Explore it. The answer might be no, and we don't do anything. But, hey, if there's a chance for us and we want to do it. And
what would, that chance, what would that chance be worth? $200?
They're already,
where they had to go.
They're already hiring.
We know where we're going. We know where.
Potable water. They're bringing another truck to bring water for the animals. They have the troughs already. They're portable troughs. They put them out. They're not going to put all 50 horses on the troughs at a time. They're going to bring the groups of horses a little at a time. Some of them, if they have their individual wagons, will take the water to their own animals. They already have that worked out.
Okay. It sounds like a moot point, Brad. But I would say we should allow her just to make the general question.
I will.
And if it's a profitable thing, then we'll take advantage of it.
And
that's
what would
motion.
Profitable be to us, though, Brad? $500? $200? What?
We consider the cost of our water, pumping, cast, and Alan's time.
Make a stab at it. $500?
I would say we'd need to make an in excess of you know, $100 profit on top of our costs, or we don't want
to
do it.
You're going to have to estimate the cost. What would make it a thing for us to even be interested? $500? $1,000?
I don't think our costs are anywhere close to that.
What do you think they are? $500? $300?
It costs us $10 to pump 3,000 gallons of water. I know that.
Okay, $10.
Really an accurate.
Gas and time and labor might bring it to $45.
Well, okay, now I work with Alan more than anyone else. If we're using Alan, we better be paying them.
I agree. Well, that was already understood.
All right. I just think you got to be, you can be generally specific. We won't do it for less than.
Well, okay, it all depends how much.
100 is nothing. I don't think it's.
Now, I've got a 750-gallon portable tank that you can strap onto the flatbed. We have the 450-gallon tank.
How much water would all those.
It might be a simple.
I mean.
I think you're wasting our board time here.
I'm going to move on. Jody, you just ask them, and if they, you can email if they want to pay us to do it, and if it's not worth it, we won't do it.
If they want me to sign autographs, I'll do it for $2 an autograph.
All right. We're going to move on now to annual meeting discussion.
Can I ask one question here?
Not on that previous topic, no.
Not on the prof, that. Well, it is.
Okay, then you can. We're done. All right. That's fine. Legal. Annual meeting discussion. We're not going to waste our...
legal.
Okay, legal. We're not going to waste our time when we can't be specific and rambling on and on for hours on these kinds of topics that way. I detest that, and I won't, as president of the board, uphold it. And so if you don't like it, that's fine. Don't vote me in as president next time, because I won't do it anymore. It's a waste of time. Just John about thing. It takes hours. I don't like these kinds of meetings when they go that way. So now you don't know how I feel. Sorry. Be so direct.
Quit rambling and move on.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
May I present something?
Are we handling legal next?
We're trying to go to legal.
There was a gentleman that wrote in here just say does.
Can you hear me?
Bicycle tours.
Hang on one second.
Or across the United States.
Yeah.
And he just happened to see this on the map, and he's pulled in here, and I happened to be out there and talk to him. He was fascinated by the place. He would like to make this one of the routes.
Just give him Mariah's phone number. And
I said I'll present it to the board, and then they can get in touch with me.
You can tell them we need numbers, time, all of those kinds of things, specifics, and then we might consider it. Okay, legal. Barry,
can you hear me?
Go for it. Yeah.
There was only one matter that we're handling as far as legal goes, and that was the revision to the bylaws to define what it means to be a quorum. I did get some comments back from Joe. And he suggested that we may postpone the lessening of the quorum requirements for two meetings rather than one, and I'm fine with that and can redraft it. I didn't hear from anybody else, so I don't have really anything else to say other than I can either change it or leave it how it is and get it ready to be sent out for the annual meeting.
Okay, any comments?
Well, yeah.
You
want to go first? I want to look up my paper.
Okay, Barry. The comment that I think the way Jody feels, and I frankly was a little surprised too. I thought we were pretty clear cut, and that was our motion that we approved the fact that we would put this before the membership, and that we would take the state's wording and just add the part about what a quorum constituted. And so, frankly, for me, you wrote a whole different thing. Although I see the logic in what you wrote,
you're suggesting that we adopt the state's language into our bylaws.
Yes,
because we are under them anyway. So if we are if we are constrained by them anyway, then our bylaws are just going to be a statement of what the state requires us. And we, because of questioning of the members on the board, we wanted to know, since it seemed to be a gray area, what constituted a quorum. And that was take place. That's what we voted on then.
So, yes, I understand that we need to clarify. We don't need to readopt the state law as into our bylaws, in my opinion. I mean, I'm okay to do whatever, but bottom line is clarification of what a quorum is or what a quorum is not.
But what we're trying to do is substitute the wording that exists now in our bylaws with the state wording, because we feel that the current wording is controversial or fraught with different interpretations, although everything's fraught with interpretation. But that's what brought up the subject in the first place.
If you want to draft it that way, then I suggest that we consider it. I don't think that's a good idea to necessarily readopt the state law language word for word. It's already there and applies. But if you want me to cut and paste the state law language into a bylaw amendment, then I can certainly do that and present it at the next board meeting. It doesn't make sense to do that, in my opinion, but...
Okay, Barry, we appreciate your... this is your world, and so explain to us why you don't feel that's appropriate.
Interpret what's already part of state law that's been adopted. So it makes no sense to regurgitate what's already in the state law word for word in a bylaw amendment.
Doesn't it make sense, though, if we want to change the original wording we think is outdated or controversial? Isn't that the crux of the problem here?
Well, that's a whole different thing than what we discussed. Are we amending the original intention of the bylaws, or are we just simply acknowledging that there's a newer state law that takes precedent that has further clarified the issue?
I think we're wanting to do both. We're wanting to do away with the old wording and then make it known what the state's wording is, and then add the clarification. So adding the clarification doesn't change the meaning in any. It just makes it less controversial down the road.
Well, I guess I disagree. What I would suggest in these situations where there's a difference of opinion as to how we should approach it, then Jody or you or whoever wants to clarify probably ought to take a stab at drafting something so we can review it word for word. Then we can simply vote on which version we like rather than us trying to discuss or me trying to figure out exactly how you want it worded.
Well, Barry, see, I think that makes sense what you're saying, but I feel you missed the point that in our meeting where we did discuss and we read through the state law, and that is what we did approve that. So we already made a motion and voted as a board on the state wording, and the only hang-up we had was clarifying what a quorum was. So I think it's passé. I mean, I think we've already voted on accepting the state wording. And we just wanted you to write in legalese what a quorum was as a clarification.
And that's exactly what I did, is clarify what a quorum is. We did talk, we did vote on what the state law language is and whether it's binding or not. And the only clarification we needed at that point was what does or does not constitute a quorum. So I defined what does or doesn't constitute a quorum. So I'm confused as to what the issue is.
Okay, just hearing what you just said, there isn't much of an issue, except the way I guess that you constituted what a quorum was the step-by-step halving the numbers.
And that's the part that Joe had an issue with, and I understand that. That's very common in owners associations. If you don't want to have the stepping and the halving of a quorum requirement, we simply take that out, and I'm happy to do that. That's there to be able to assure that homeowners associations can eventually transact business if people fail to come and participate, because otherwise you're stuck not being able to transact any business on behalf of the association. But if that's an issue, let's take it out. That's easy to address.
I don't have an issue.
Can I jump in?
I saw the logic in that too, Barry, as to, you know, moving things ahead, because you could have instances, well, I'm not even sure that we have 50% of our membership. Maybe we do with proxy votes and attendance of the annual meeting.
Yeah.
So I guess we do.
Yeah, we do.
It has not, I don't think it's been an issue with Deer Springs, but it has with other associations that I've worked with in the past, and that's pretty common to have that in bylaws of an association. But like I said, if it's an issue, we can take it out and then deal with it if it comes up.
Okay, Jody does want to talk. I want to just make one clarifying statement then. It seems like we are probably all in agreement with the state wording. It has to do just with this other additional thing on what a quorum is. And we have one board member, Joe, and you, I guess, agreeing that we could make it two times where we have to half it or however that worked. But so now
you'd have to,
Jody,
you'd have to. Go ahead.
So Jody's chomping at the bit to say something here. So I've go ahead.
Okay.
Jody.
Well, Barry, is it necessary to copy and paste the state law? Can't we just put like the whole bylaw change being like we are going to follow the state code on this issue, and then give the definition of what our quorum, membership quorum is, instead of having to rewrite that whole thing? Can't we just go, we are going to follow the state code, Deer Springs branch will follow under how the state code outlines it, and then just put our quorum requirement?
Now we're in the future. Yeah.
Isn't that easier to do? Would that be better to do, like, instead of having you retype everything like that?
Well, it just doesn't make sense to say we as an association are going to follow state law. I mean, we are going to follow state law. That's why it's state law. So,
okay, well, let me further on that. Sorry.
Go ahead.
So,
from my understanding of how the code is for Utah, for corporations, nonprofits, if our bylaws say something contrary to state code, our bylaws persevere.
No.
Yes.
In some things, yes.
Yes, I've had this discussion with Bruce Jenkins many times. So that's why I like, you know, if it would say we're following state code, then there is no guessing whether which one supersedes. The state code is the one that we follow.
That's why we'd like to
take it, the old stuff out. And Brad has a comment.
Why don't we just write that and vote on it next time? Write what you just said down and we'll vote on it next time.
We thought we'd done that, but...
We're voting the membership.
Well, we're changing...
How's that going?
We're changing the...
Well, maybe we need to vote on it.
Rules and regs, or what is it, bylaws? Bylaws, rules of directors.
That's what we have to send out for the annual meeting. That's where we're coming up to next time.
I think
you have to give 60 days notice on a bylaw change.
So
we can't wait. We got to decide.
We got to do that today. So let me write something down while you guys talk a little bit here.
Okay, Barry.
Yeah.
If you like, I'll make a motion, or I'll let you make the motion of the way I understand where the conversation is going right now. And then we can discuss.
I'm happy to make a motion to adopt the language that I presented as far as a bylaw change to be presented to the membership.
And I think that's basically what we've been discussing. Okay, so Barry's made a motion to accept what he sent us with possibly the correction or addition of the way Joe suggested it. So is there a second to that motion?
Can I hear the motion again?
Does anybody have a copy of that email?
Right here.
Is this the one he sent?
Yes.
Is this the one he sent?
Yes. Okay. Yes, it should be.
This is in October of 2016. It can't be. This is the regs the way they are right now.
And the Utah one. Joe has berries.
I want to see berries.
Sorry.
After this discussion, I have a question. Give that.
Okay, give me that. Okay, hang on, Barry. We got a copy of what you sent us June 15th. And I'm going to let Brad read that right now.
Can I read it out loud?
Proposed amendment to bylaws. Dear Spring Ranch Owners Association members, concerns arisen related to what constitutes a quorum, which is required in bulk any meeting of the Board of Directors in order to take any formal action by the Board, and also in any meeting of members in order for the members to take any formal action. Therefore, it has been proposed that the bylaws of Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association be amended for the purpose of clarification as follows. 1. Paragraph G shall be added to the bylaws, which expressly states as follows. Quorum requirements. No action may be taken by the membership in an annual members meeting or any special members meeting as described above unless at least half of all members of the association are present in person, by mail, in ballot, or by duly executed proxy. In the event that a sufficient number of members are present, the annual members meeting or special members meeting may be continued by motion for not more than 60 days, at which time the foregoing quorum requirements shall be reduced by one half. I probably read that wrong.
No,
you did. In the event that an insufficient number of members are present, not sufficient numbers. So if an insufficient number of members are present, then the foregoing quorum requirements shall be reduced by one half. Should be noted that all of the following members of the current board support this action. Please take time to review this proposal, blah, blah.
Okay.
All right, I got a proposal.
So does anybody want to, there's still discussion on Barry's motion. Does anybody want to, and there's been discussion, does anybody want to make a motion to second the way Barry wrote that, his motion?
The problem I have is dividing it by half.
I don't understand.
So you don't want to make you don't want to second the motion?
No.
Is there anybody who wants to second the motion that Barry has? Okay, the motion dies.
I support that motion, but I'd like to have some Joe clarified and John's question answered.
Well, Joe will clarify. Why don't you go ahead and re-clarify what you wanted to...
where it said it's cut in half. Let's say there's 300 votes. There's 300 members. If it doesn't pass, then you cut it in half. Now you got 150 votes.
For the next meeting.
Yes.
At the next meeting, 150 people can control... Well, I'm sorry. There's an elephant in the room. Dale has 75 votes. He's over half of me. So it's automatically controlled by one person.
That only applies if there's an insufficient number of members present.
Yeah, but we don't want that applying.
Then just strike that last sentence. Just take that last sentence off.
I have a new proposal. But John has a question.
John?
What is the purpose of cutting it in half?
So that something can get done,
can you?
If there's a stalemate or something that doesn't happen.
There's not enough people to make an action to get me off the board.
I understand.
And the next one, there's still not enough people, and you guys really want me off the board, then you got to do something drastic.
So that doesn't have to do with it does have
to
do
with... Well, it seemed to me that I'm against cutting it in half, and here's why. I like to give the why when I say something. It does leave it open to just a few taking control. And I think our job might be to do a little educating and talking to people to bring it up to a quorum that we need and not to reduce the number of people that are voting.
And that's why we kind of wanted to relegate this kind of action to an annual meeting when we know we have a quorum. And not just some board meeting that normal board shows up, but somebody politics and has 30 people with them, or, you know, the shoot out of the OK Corral.
I understand trying to get something done, but it doesn't mean that you rush something just and step into a hole and break your ankle. You know what I mean? And then I had another question a while ago about some wording. Maybe this doesn't apply here, but I want to say it, and you can tell me I'm full of it if you want, so I don't know. That we're going to follow the state law. We as a board are going to follow the state law, but we're going to add something to it. In the court of law, when you go and somebody takes this to the court, it would seem to me that we have a conflict here. You say we're going to stick with the state law. Then you say, well, we're really not. We're going to do this. And I don't think you could win that in a court. I think that would be something you would lose if you add something to it when you already said in your bylaws that we as a board are going to stick a law.
Jody brought it up.
That makes sense to me.
Jody brought it up that sometimes the bylaws of the are override the state.
Well, it may be, but you already said that you're going to then leave it out that you're going to stick with the state law, because if you say you're going to stick to it and then you go to override it, there's a conflict in there.
Right. I agree. Okay. Jody has a proposal.
All right, here's how I suggest
a
motion that we change the bylaws. The Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association adopts section blah, 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 whatever it is, of Utah State Code, which describes the removal of directors, and also adds that a membership quorum is 51% of the entire membership.
Represented how? In person?
In any form.
No, in ballot?
In any form. In any form.
Yeah, you could clarify that. That's easy. Okay, so discussion on Jody's motion. Barry?
I'll vote against it, but I don't have anything to discuss. I just disagree, so.
Okay. All right. That does circumvent all of these half things that Barry had.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sir.
Half all is just what we want to do.
Okay.
Could you read that again?
Sure. Yeah. Deer Springs Ranch adopts section blah, 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 of Utah state code, which describes the removal of directors, then also adds that a membership quorum is 51% of the entire membership.
What's the problem with that, Barry?
Barry, is there a problem with that, the way she presented that?
Not necessarily. I just think it's unnecessary as far as you're repeating the state law stuff. And other than that, I mean, it does, if you want to say the quorum is 51% of the membership, you need to, which we would have to clarify that they're there by proxy or by mail-in vote or in person. But
well, I think we just follow the same rules we have in place with how they're allowed to vote. I'm trying to look that up in the bylaws right now.
Well, voting's a little different than what quorums are, so just keep that in mind.
It's a proxy, whether or not you're a mail-in or whether or not you're present. Your vote should count if you're a member.
Right. Good. So in your motion, you said that a quorum is 51% of the entire membership.
Of the entire membership? Yeah, of the entire membership.
And I would add, and may be represented in person by proxy vote.
No one does.
Or mail-in ballot.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to have, for discussion, we're going to have to read this one more time, one final time here, and then we'll need to know if somebody will second the motion or not.
Okay. Deer Springs Ranch will adopt section of Utah State Code, which describes the removal of directors, and then also adds that the membership quorum is 51% of the entire membership and may be represented in person, by proxy, or mail-in ballot.
My question is, would you add this one sentence? The way he's proposed mailing this out to the members is good. It says, it's proposed that the bylaws of Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association be amended for the purpose of clarification as follows, and then say what you just said.
Sure.
Yeah, that language you're referring to, that's just an introduction to the members. We can change that however we want. That's not part of the actual amendment, so we can put whatever we want there.
Okay. Does anyone want to second Jody's motion? Okay, Joe seconds the motion. We'll have a vote now on the motion. All in favor of the motion as read by Jody, raise your hand or say yes. Okay, there have been five of the board members. I'm just counting you as a negative, Barry. So there's been five in favor. Is that correct? Okay. So be it then.
Do we have Barry and Jeff again?
No.
Jeff, Brad,
I have no problem with clarifying that. I think that's the way it should be. That's the way the law really reads. Okay. And any words clarify that. So the simple-minded people like me can just read the rules and regs and see that that's how it is.
Okay, let's move on to annual meeting discussion. And so the birds have just invaded us, everyone. Hang on.
Oh, no. Don't look after the mouth of them.
Okay, there's certain timelines that we have to follow for our annual meeting, which is now we know is the 9th of September. I think there are certain things that have to be sent out 30 days in advance, and I think, can anybody correct me or find a copy of the amendment to the bylaws? Does it or does it not have to be sent out 60 days in advance?
Anyway.
While you're looking that up, could I just have some discussion on the upcoming election? There's been enough conflict and, I guess, bad feelings that existed just through the regular runnings of the ranch and everybody's different opinion. We shouldn't have an election. Be an open-ended opportunity for more conflict to come on the ranch. There's been, and I've heard, and I'm sure some of you guys have heard, information that leaks about voting, who's voted for who, and if Joe doesn't vote for me because he doesn't think I'm going to do the best job, but he's my neighbor, then I shouldn't be able to find out about that. Or I could have a conflict with my neighbor for the rest of the time that I'm here at this ranch, that our voting needs to be confidential and that nobody knows how everybody votes. And so if Joe doesn't want to vote for me, he cannot vote for me.
That is the way it is.
Well, I've heard.
But it was not revealed on the board or by...
If there's board members that are in there counting votes and they see who's voting...
Board members are never in there.
Never in there.
We're supervisor and we're overseeing it.
No, board members aren't. Never.
No.
Right.
Me and a select amount of people that are not involved to anyone who's been nominated or who is a board member are allowed to be in there.
And no family.
So they would
elected.
Have information. They would be able to.
But they're cautioned.
What I'm saying is, I think we should have a ballot that is indiscriminate, because I don't want you to know if I voted for you or not.
Then how do you keep track of
whatever else?
How do I know if a member has
voted? They have to prove whether it's
they do it in America every year.
No, we have to know what
they pay in order to vote. They have to have their due
voter registration.
So I wouldn't know if they hadn't paid.
Well, there's lots of checks and balances that go into when she takes those ballots in and like make sure they're paid and make sure they're a member and make sure they vote how many lots that they have and that kind of thing. So, but they're the only ones.
She's my best friend, is all I'm saying. Is she can tell me Phil didn't vote for me. Hey, guess what? Why didn't Phil vote for you?
She could.
She
swore to an amenity.
Yeah.
I'm
just saying.
And the ballot was then destroyed after.
Certain information shouldn't be allowed back out. There should be a private. You step into a voting booth and you vote for someone. That's if you and you whoever you determine should tell you who you're voting for. And there shouldn't be any unseen pressure for you to vote a certain way just simply because
I think that's
Mariah
what it
has
is,
the very next lot to me, and she already told me that she didn't want Phil to be the president anymore, and I voted for him. And
that's the precedent, and that's the way it is.
I guess, and you can't control the people that vote who, if they tell people what they voted for, and that you... There's no way to control that.
I think he's saying when the votes are counted, somehow something gets out. Well, I think that the decorum should be specifically stated for anybody in there counting the ballot, and Mariah's in charge of that, and if anything were to come out from that, you know, there could be a problem. I don't know what consequences, but she could reiterate that fact that anyone counting should not tell anybody. And if you don't feel that you can follow through with that, then don't volunteer to be part of it.
Maybe we should have a little form that they actually sign.
Sure.
That states the concerns, you know, that this voting is confidential, blah, 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 blah.
We got plenty of time between the victims. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
That should be something that everybody feels very confident that their ballot is in secret. And I'm not jeopardizing my friendship with Joe just because I think that Candy is a better...
I think
better vote for him.
We've had this concern for many years, and we've tried to make this tradition of how we do it so that it does cover that. So
the only way you can prevent voter fraud in this, though, is as she said, she has to check. So yes, the check whether they're paid, whether they're truly a member, or somebody's just shoving them in. We have a lot of controversy in voting of phony votes in our election system. So if you want to find out if our rule says that they need to be paid up and they need to be a member, then that has to be checked. And there's the possibility, that possibility is always there, of the three that's in there, no matter if they tell you they're going to be put right or not.
Maybe it's worth it to have an outside person come in that nobody knows.
A double system where she checks the person's
legal vote by the dues, and then she seals it back up and hands it to an independent counter that doesn't work for the ranch, period.
It sounds like we're pretty much all in agreement that that should be something that's critical and important to everybody. So, everybody, we can talk about this later, but we don't need to take any more board meeting time. Thanks. So,
okay.
I didn't find the date.
She found, okay.
It says bylaws may be amended by an affirmative vote or written consent of 2/3 of the majority. It doesn't say a time period.
For notice?
Right.
No, it says here in the bylaws, notice of meetings, the secretary will mail to each member of record notice of each annual or special meeting at least 20 days, but not more than 45 days prior to such meeting.
That's the meeting.
But that's not the voting nomination.
On the bylaws.
If it doesn't state anything, then I think we can...
Orders of business, election of directors.
Yeah.
It's in there.
I'd agree. So that's good. My worry is that we didn't have time to do this or...
We're good.
We're good.
At least 20 days, but not more than 45 days.
Okay. All right. So let's when in the past have we called for nominations, and when have we cut them off, or have we cut them off? Anybody remember that kind of stuff?
Just based on what I'm guessing and just for my own analysis, I'm thinking that those ought to, in the future, probably send out some nominations, I'm guessing, by the 1st of July. We need a week to a week and a half for them to arrive. We need a week to a week and a half for people to think about it. And
we're past the 1st of July.
Yes, you're right. We are. So immediately, as on Monday, I will prepare them, have them ready to go and send them out by Wednesday, hopefully.
You're going to have what prepared?
Request for nominations.
The only thing, I can send that much out, but if we have anything else we need to send out to notify them that we're going to be voting on this and all of that, that would be tricky. If we need to have that up, or can we send that when we send out? Here's the nomination.
Well, we want to
here's
save money on our doing. On our postage, so why don't you send out immediately Monday, ask for nominations,
okay.
And by the August 1st, we close the nomination
okay.
time.
Okay.
Would that be all right with everybody? Is that enough time?
That should be enough.
If you send it out by the...
We're on the 8th.
And let's make it so that they can... They can call you and nominate somebody, and then you're responsible to call them and see if they accept the nomination.
Yes.
Or any mailed or email stuff has to be in before the end of July.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay. And then our general mailer for the September meeting, we could send it out the 1st of August. Okay.
With the bylaw change.
With the bylaw change and with everything else.
A newsletter? Are we wanting to prepare a newsletter?
We could prepare a newsletter and have it all. Yes, let's have a newsletter. Talk about things that happened at the ranch this summer or this year and the things for the nominated people and all that stuff. So we have one mailing.
Does the newsletter usually come out after the election so that they get notified of who's got...
You can do it. You can...
I remember. Yes, typically done. That's what we've done before. Would know the answer to that for sure, but I'm sure that
I think it's good to educate the members on it, so we can have just a we could do both.
But like before, okay. So the nomination requests go out, and then the nominations are closed, and then the nominees write up a little paragraph, and they go on a piece of paper, and then that stuff gets sent out. I guess at the same time,
right.
The bylaw thing does when the vote, the ballot, okay,
right.
The ballot and the newsletter,
yeah.
Yeah, because they want to know, well, what have you guys done this last year, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we want to kind of send it out before elections and stuff.
So perhaps in the future we could have the newsletter prepared for July then to go out with the first mailing and then go ahead with all the regular stuff.
Yeah, that would be good.
I'll make a note of that.
And the date that everything has to be in by? By mail?
We should probably have it. I have to, let's see. It's the 8th of September, 9th of September. I would say we've got to have it by Monday of the week before, just because there might be stragglers. It's got to be postmarked by the... I don't know if that'll be enough time. Some mailing can take 3 to 5 days to get to me, depending on where they are. So maybe it needs to be postmarked the 1st of September.
Okay.
If we mail it the 1st of August, does that sound reasonable? Postmarked September 1st.
Yeah. 4 weeks.
And then you send out the nominees
But between August and, could you go over that with
me? August and September 1, they have to.
So the nominees have to be by the end of July, by July 30th.
Which is how many days before the election?
Oh, I don't know.
60 days,
July.
90 days?
Into July.
End of July. No, that'll make
August and
30 days.
2 weeks in September.
So 6 weeks before.
I think once we figure this out, we ought to not figure it out again. And
I agree.
We post it into the rules and regs, and this is how our things go.
I think Vance knows it all. And you all have this at home, but we just don't have it here.
Okay.
We usually do the same thing every year.
I like to go backwards with it.
Now, agenda for the of events for the annual meeting. We have had...
I'd like to make a motion that...
make a suggestion.
I'd like to make a suggestion. All the members have a lot of things going on. The board does. And I make a suggestion that you put this into a committee and let the committee put together the annual meeting program that's here, from food to entertainment, decorations, to whatever we might need. And we will report back to you what we have found out. This committee I'm talking about would include Sunshine Harris, Mariah Wheeler, and Candy Bose, and anybody else that would like to participate.
Okay, so we can take input from you, but we will come up with our agenda.
I'm just talking about...
But you're talking about extracurricular things.
All the other things.
Food and all that.
You do the agenda, we could do the other part.
I have a suggestion that goes along with anything. We have several issues that are very important that need to be discussed with the full membership. For example, the man here with the fire suppression.
Yeah, we're going to give him time for that.
Because a lot of people are going to do cabins and water, the roads. I think it's really timely that we have the board, it's functioning, but doing, on that fire system committee that he was talking about, we should really have one person from each neighborhood sitting on a committee. One person, we really need to get the neighborhoods involved so that it's not just the same handful of people making all the decisions, but even I think members are going to miss out. If there was a forest fire up here, we would be held responsible because we did not tell them we're doing fire suppression and you didn't get the email or you didn't know about it. But even at the annual meeting, if we had almost like a breakout session, or the man had the table there about fire, so whoever comes to the annual meeting can talk to the fire guy. We have a table there for the water system, so members who come can talk to.
I think that's what the fire suppression guy wants to do.
Yeah.
But I think our annual meeting should be more of an event of not just get here for the meeting, listen to the meeting, you have an executive session. I think an all.
The computer doesn't like that.
We do, in a sense, do that, and have done that to varying degrees. We could
invite special people to come and.
Well, what we want to do is we want to have our annual meeting, have an agenda, and go through the regular business, and then we have an informational thing that might be like a fair or an informational thing with. Perhaps along with the meal or while the votes are being counted. But even beforehand, these tables that are set up or can be set up, we have in the past. And the thing on neighborhood things, the thing we looked out for once upon a time, we talked about it, we'd had them, but we didn't make it like an additional layer of government. Like they could have committees and talk about it and make suggestions. And each board member was in charge of one area, and then they could talk to that board member, and then if that was clarified enough, bring something up to the board.
So even on the board, certain board members are over, like you and I guess Joe are both over Crawford, but each neighborhood is not represented.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Then the neighborhoods select, and maybe at this annual meeting there can be a selection of neighborhood representatives.
I think even the newsletter, maybe we encourage neighborhoods to talk and get together and elect or organize their neighborhood.
We have done that in the past, and tell you the sad truth of it is?
It never happened.
I mean, I had a special meeting in Kanab one time, prison stuff, mail stuff.
But we welcome that happening at any point.
Now,
in any neighborhood that wants to.
So I'm not saying we won't try
together.
Again.
We welcome their input and
support
them. There are issues that maybe now is the time.
And some are more important to some neighborhoods than others. And,
I think everybody knows about Brian Hit Fire, and we're all afraid of it. That happened up here.
I think we could include that as far as each neighborhood at the annual meeting or even part of the mail out have people in these areas, and you can identify the map and where they are, vote for a committee chairman.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But it's not a voting group. That's where we have to be careful. It's not a voting group. That it's not another form of government. It's just a representative way to get ground roots info to a board member over that area.
So maybe in the newsletter. Let's
all think about it and we can work something out.
You know, something about that too. And it's been tried so many times, Joanne. It's really sad because look at how many members are here. Like every board meeting is like, we're here to do things for them, yet they're not here. So you can only do so much when you don't get feedback and you don't get involved.
We should get more people at the meeting.
Yes, we do.
If we could get their attention once a year.
Yeah.
It would be better than
it's worth trying.
We can't do it at all.
I'm fully ready to.
And I think, like you said, because of the Brian Hit Fire, how do you contact these people? You know, how do you address that neighborhood's needs at this point? Or if you want to do like the fire thing that he was talking about and you do the tiles and the linen trim, how do you do that? So I agree that something could be presented again and you may have new people that they'd be willing to do something.
Yeah. So backing up just a little bit on the agenda of events, let's list our committee members as been volunteered at this time. Candy. Sunshine.
Mariah.
Anybody else? Do you want to be that or not? Or
I didn't hear your question.
for the planning of different events like an auction or a meal or
entertainment or setup.
So can you be volunteered herself? And
I would love to be
Sunshine.
Involved, but I am afraid I have a hard time committing myself and then getting overwhelmed.
It's not that you have to do it all, but
well, if you volunteer, it's something I can call you on the phone or Mariah and say, hey, we need you to give some calls to somebody or I don't know, maybe that's not a good idea, but you know,
you
presenting something in the auction kind of a program. Or,
we could talk about it.
As I say, that's what we need to do is.
Okay, so I just wanted to clarify that for the meeting minutes, who our committee is and the, you know, we're welcoming others that might want to join that committee. Okay, let's keep trying to move ahead here. Agriculture, fire, protection, wildlife, Brad.
Did you do the agenda for the...
Okay. I wanted to just start off by a thank you to the Andersons for all that they've done on our ranch. I think that everybody here would support me in extending a... warm thank you and expressing our gratitude for the work, the way the ranch is working, and all the projects overall in many different areas. And we recognize, as we talked about before, that we don't even know half of what you guys do. We don't even know. And I'm going to try to be better at recognizing you and you guys, letting the rest of you guys know over the agriculture when they're involved there and doing things. I'll let you know. And if you do that, too, maybe that'd be beneficial for everybody and that we could post that. Because I think recognition is good. And it does show accountability to our membership that we've hired great people and members who don't come out here can just be, you know, see minutes or whatever and know that you know, their investment is being well taken care of by the board that they've elected. So thank you. I want to continue that. Thank you to the end of the board, or the end of the table, Joe Bove. I've been able now to witness a lot of things that Joe does, and I can tell that this has gone on for years, and I don't know if it's been publicly expressed or not, but thank you, Joe, for all that you do, running and getting parks and doing all kinds of things. You spend lots of hours, and I, for one, appreciate it and wanted to publicly thank you, along with Brent, who can't hear me anyway. But I've been a witness now to see things that are happening and get done. And it's that kind of leadership, and it's got volunteers that make their springs the way that it is, and I appreciate that. Wildlife, the bees, Rob Binkerhoff, I finally was able to get a hold with him. The other guy, what's his name?
Lonnie Stewart.
Lonnie. I called and talked to him earlier. He was supposed to come in April. Never came. Rob was also welcome to come back in. We welcome two bees back into our ranch. Neither one of them chose to. Rob chose not to because he developed a different strategy with the early spring. He, instead of, this is the mid-range for the bees, he opted to go to high and skip his mid-range, and so that's why we didn't have bees here. But he's talking about wanting to maybe come back here as a rabbit brush in the late season, because in the fall, basically, as the rabbit brush blooms, and maybe put some bees out here then. And
I heard the bees joined the union and they went on strike.
Could be, honey. I had a question come up with elk. There's some people who have drawn elk permits. Do we allow elk hunting up in the top end of Crawford Canyon and that? Is that an allowed thing? Is there a trespass fee that they pay?
That's something that Larry Clark said.
In the past, Larry's done that for us. And he was, so we don't have anything super official, but he was kind of named as the guide. If somebody approached us and they were willing to, and Larry at the time was willing, whatever he worked out with them to guide them. And I think we gave notice to members that they didn't want any hunters on their ground. They needed to post that no hunting. Then he, knowing where cabins and people might be, could guide those hunters. There are a lot of people who don't want to see them there, but we just challenged them. And maybe it's in the rules and regs that if you don't want any hunters with ranch supervision on your ground, you need to tell us and post it.
The last 2 years, Paul and John had a heavy
fire. Yeah, security for deer hunting. Yeah. I'm talking about a permit guy that wanted to come in and try to harvest an elk on the property.
I think that was legal because I think Fred Searle had a permit one time for it.
Yeah. So we do it. It's a possibility, but there's parameters and there's a fee, correct? Yeah.
We don't know. I don't know what the fee is or if the fee was. Is that what it was?
Yeah. Well, the trespassing is 500.
Yep.
For okay.
Elk, yeah, it was less for turkeys.
Yeah.
I thought it was 100 bucks.
For turkeys.
Deer and elk for 500.
Yeah.
Deer
and elk 500. Turkey 100. That's what I was at.
Okay. Does everybody concur with that?
I know elk come through my place.
Individual supervision and written permission are required to hunt on all areas of Deer Springs Ranch, except hunting by a member on a member's own lot. That's all we say about it.
Rules and regs.
Yeah.
But I think we've let Larry, for his time, work out. I thought that was the deal. Larry.
So Larry. We could approve something, but you have to be, we got to be in the loop.
Yeah. Ask Larry what he usually does. Yeah.
Now, Larry, they have to be shown where they don't know where.
They have to be
that guy shown where they can shoot.
So aren't they supposed to, like, go with Larry or go with someone?
Larry's in charge of that, as far as I know.
When Paul was here, we said you could hunt the bread.
He's up to Alaska now. Most times, I think he's leaving in a little while. And when he gets back,
he could do it.
I don't know.
He'll
be here for the hunt.
Yeah, he did.
Larry hasn't been here 2 years to do it.
All right, Larry. I'll talk with Larry about that.
I don't think we've had any requests.
I'm going to move right on.
Okay.
Fishing. Anybody heard anything about fish?
They're all gone.
What?
No, they're not. There was a group up there last night that caught 10 in the middle pond.
Trout or the little bitty?
No, trout.
Trout.
I know.
We were trout.
I know I took a grandchild up a couple weeks ago, and we caught 5. We had to end up keep one because the dang thing was a wuss.
but we threw everything else out. There was a concern brought to me that there's some hooking and cooking going on there as feeding a family, as somebody that stays out to the ranch. And I know that's not what we want the ponds to be, is just another way for me to lower my grocery bill by going up and catching there. I would propose that if there's concerns on an individual basis, that maybe me over wildlife talk to each individual member and let them know that if we lose all of our fish to one or two families, then we have to, you know, go back to charging per inch or something, some kind of a fee to be able to take fish out of our
pond. We did used to charge you, it was $4 or $6 or whatever if you kept the fish.
It used to be $3 a fish.
But you know what? It costs us $4 to plant them. At least $4. It's almost $4 to $5 per fish.
There's nothing in the rules and regs that says they can't do that. It just says we strongly encourage them to catch and release.
Well,
so they might not.
System too,
and if there's an issue or problem, I'm bringing that to everybody, all of our whole membership. Please come to me. I'm over the wildlife. I pretty much understand what the whole thing is there, and I'll stronger encourage them to you know, catch their fair share.
How big of a problem is it? Like, question.
If all the fish are gone, it becomes a problem. If all the fish are gone, it's no problem at all.
Do the fish die in the winter time when it gets frozen?
No.
They stay. They continue growing.
They love it.
They can live over.
Older the water, the better trout.
Is this a problem now? It's like it's been happening a lot.
They make it through the winter all the time.
Or just significant enough to make it mentioned.
Well, there's maybe this might be an executive session.
Yeah. Oh.
Topic that from now on. I just want to make that as a public statement because it's a benefit for everybody and it shouldn't be abused, just like any benefit that we have on the ranch, and should be managed. And we could, and if we have to take stronger action, then let's take stronger action, but let's at least do an increment.
Okay, here's one thing, Brad, on that, since you're in charge of that end of it. The scouts were up here, a couple of weeks ago. They'll come up to my place and I did a demo for them, but meanwhile they went down to the pond and they caught 14 trout, changed the menu and cooked them. Now, with me, I'm all scouts, so I'm not going to complain. I'm not complaining.
Fredonia?
Yeah, but I just got to ask the opinion. If that's happening,
they should pay for the fish.
What they want to do. Now, they did, if they took fish out of ignorance, you know, they were allowed to be here.
Sure.
Good bunch of boys I met with.
Nothing's stopping them from doing that. That's why I just brought this up in discussion.
And I like the idea of kids getting to do something.
I do too. And yeah. I'm willing to pay money for kids to be able to have that experience, and even if I had Deer Springs Ranch. So in some instances, it's there, but let's say I moved here with my family over here and all my kids move in and I'm thinking, hey, I'm going to have one meal a week on the ranch. And I go up there because, you know, I know some guys who can catch 30 or 40 fish an evening if they really wanted to. And so
I heard of a group, two guys taking 84 fish one time. I heard of that. I didn't want.
Well, let's discuss the particulars in the closed session. But I'm thinking we should reinstigate the rules and regs of the charge.
No, they need it.
If you catch them, keep them.
It's not stated in the rules.
No,
it's kind of open-ended right now.
Yeah, I think we lost that out of our rules.
There's been some suggestion that maybe there's been some abuses, and so I'm just bringing that up because we want people to come to the ranch, and we want them to go up and catch a fish. We just don't want to feed their family once a week for the summer.
Yeah, and taking 84 fish home for two different.
Exactly right. So
okay,
Nick, Mariah had a comment.
There's a great comment on that. If we have trouble with it, we ought to get close sign. We need close sign anyway about the swimming thing. I don't know why we couldn't put a sign that says catch and release fishing only or something like that, maybe that would be an option.
We can't keep the fish in there. They need to get some fish out of there. We don't want catching. We want to be able to eat some fish. So
stuff.
But if we leave it to the rules and regs, that's going to be something that's going to be...
But we could post the sign.
Just a thought, man. I just thought of, why don't we do that? Catch and release only on pond 2 this year, and then the next year make it pond 3 so they have a chance of getting bigger.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Just rotate
that's
it.
A real good idea.
Yeah, some Cheat Candy told me that.
Are they even later? I thought...
Well, they're very expensive.
We get lunch today.
I mean, I ordered.
We know that.
Those 1-pounders. It's about. They're more expensive than going to Costco and buying a trout. They're like
wow.
They're like about $5 a fish. Is what we're spending.
Too bad those frozen ones won't move once you throw
them
in.
Let's keep going.
It can be a lifetime event for people to come and catch a fish with their grandkid for the first time, and it's definitely a benefit. And we don't want to stop that in any way, shape, or form. And maybe we want to spend more money on fish and restock it again. I don't know. But we need to just be aware that of potential problems and try to manage them. And let's move on, because I got a bunch of notes. Okay. There's $2 million right now available in water projects that's already appropriated. It's going to be spent this coming year in Utah on water project, period. I'd like to get a piece of that for our ranch. I have 3 ideas with water rights that we have, and I want to know if there's any problem with any of the water rights, the leaf spring, the well, and our own well. Which well?
What do you mean by problems?
We have full, Deer Springs have full ownership of all 3 of those things. Jody?
No, Leaf Springs has got, I believe, 3 or 4 members on it right now. That are
on the
water rights.
Filed on the water rights?
Yeah.
And so is there going to be a problem if we improve that spring box in spring? If we
That's
get
a really wide question.
So wasn't Leaf Springs originally...
It's a diligent claim number 1. Is that what you're talking about for cattle? Is that what you're talking about? Water for cattle?
Cattle and wildlife.
Yeah, that's still there.
We have that right.
Yeah.
So we could improve that spring?
Well...
Well, you have to go
goes
to
back
water.
To the whole,
yeah,
whole thing of
the
ownership
water
of the water rights in there. So I'm ignorant on.
You want to do
if that
it
was
the
common
ranch.
If that was common
the ranch
common water rights then
it would be the ranch doing the improvement.
Diligence claim number 1 and then 2, 3, 4 and 2, 3, and 4 2, 3, 4, and 5 is 4 of its members.
Barry, are you still there?
Barry.
Vance would be a good one to ask. Though.
Vance, is anybody there?
Vance, this is Vance. This is Vance. Well, we need more details. What do you intend to do?
I haven't seen the existing spring box and how well it was done, but I'd like to have an engineer take a look at it and then carry the lines that come out of that spring box down to and make a permanent. Water trough there for livestock and wildlife.
There's already a pipe running down the hill to a steel tank there. Are you talking about doing something else?
Yeah.
Like what?
Putting a buried line.
Oh, okay.
If the spring box is insufficient, make it larger to capture more water. Bury the lines that come down to a permanent water trough that. A permanent source there that we can turn on and off.
Okay, so there. Have you been up there to where the actual source is?
Oh.
Okay, you need to go look at it. There is no spring box. There's a ditch collecting a long lateral seep coming out of a rock wall. And
that's called a red X spring box.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm just going to call it a ditch because that's all it really is. And it could be made a whole lot better by taking about, say about a 24-inch piece of corrugated culvert, cutting it in half lengthwise and lining the ditch with it. That would help a lot right off the bat.
So, we have to do that?
Well, here's the thing. As Jody already said, there are 3 other claims on that water. And we're only allowed to take whatever the rancher's claim is from that water unless those other people relinquish their water, their claim. So you guys all need to talk.
Well, Vance, this is Barry. I think the Ratchet, claim is superior to what Jody and the others have.
Well, no, it's actually in addition to that. The spring is capable, apparently, of more than our claim.
Okay. Well, sorry it took me a minute to get my phone off of mute, but we can do improvements there. That's not a question.
And we should. And the thing is, improving the spring box will increase the yield for everybody who has a clam on there, so why not?
And there's no reason not to do the improvements because more water helps everybody rather than having it run in the ground.
Right, right. I would just say that the polite thing to do would be to involve the other people who have claims.
Yes.
Okay. Stay with you and find out about the other people with the claims. See, we had a deadline to apply for this money was, what's today?
Oh, hey.
Carl.
Uh-huh.
And so, maybe it was with that, maybe over maybe. I did apply, I sent them a plan. We can say, hey, we can't do this project, do that project, do these other, so. Now we're into the project. 2 days, and so hopefully we rank well enough. We have a problem with wildlife there, and that's cool. Did you guys see any of those pictures of the buck that was happening in the reservoir? Buck, really nice.
Died?
Totally covered in mud. He actually lived.
Oh,
he actually lived and ran off to live another day. But I sent him pictures of that along with our things, and I think, you know, ranking all is in about the people who are, you know, with everything else who rank us. So I think we got a good shot at that, and that's going to happen. The National Conservation Service, Resource Services person took a job at the Forest Service. He came out. We got ranked. We were close. Matter of fact, they haven't officially told us no yet because there might even be chances of something even still this late coming in. They haven't officially sent us a no letter because I think they kind of want to help us and want to do something there. But there's a hiring freeze. They can't put anybody else in, so her boss is going to come out here and bring an engineer Thursday, and we're going to tour the ranch. And I'm going to show them some of the erosion problems. And if you guys haven't seen them, you're welcome to walk a couple hundred yards over and look at the erosion that's happening there. And just if you don't want to do the hike over here, know that it's twice as bad over here as it is there. And eventually, this deep ravine is going to be right up crossing our road if we don't take some kind of action. And so I'm trying to get all the help I can educating us to know what is the best actions that we can take to help stop that erosion. We're automatically reapplying for the plans that we did for next year if we end up not having any of that, which is eradicating noxious weeds, brush hogging, spiking some of the sagebrush, and doing some water projects.
Wait, so on that part, are we doing anything on the weeds this year?
Yeah, we've had two days out here with weeds. Besides the guys, and I wanted to say another attaboy to Alan, because he's been out there with the shovel and clippers, at least killing the plants and taking them so they don't reseed. Every thistle that you guys, anybody sees anywhere, you can knock down, you save like 700, 800.
I know.
Million seeds, I don't know what it is exactly, but that going into the air for people, if you can kill it before it blooms,
right,
then we're just that much farther ahead. And there's been quite a lot of work done with a shovel and a pick, but we also have had people on our ranch from the county. Carl's been out here, spent a day. I think his bosser was out here, spent a day and sprayed. When they spray, they use a dye, and so you can tell that it's been sprayed.
Yeah.
We spent a few dollars and Rick and Nancy over here, he's been spraying his own self, and we've been experimenting just round-upping it, but it's not as good as the other chemical.
The other stuff works in a day. If we can...
Kills it immediately. The seeds are dead immediately.
How can we get... We have to have a permitted person.
We need to get Alan into St. George, and he needs to...
Certified.
...to get a license, and then we can go ahead and do that. And we did hook him up with Carl. He got some education that day, and actually some chemicals that he can use. And so Yeah, we're after it.
Okay.
And if you see bad areas, just let's report them and say, hey, I've seen a place where there's a whole bunch of thistle, and so we can go up and try to hit them.
Is the white one bad, too?
It is. It's pretty, but it's white. You know, I've never seen it. It's like a new thistle.
It's a new thistle. Okay.
There's like six native thistles that the county will not spray. That's one of them. But I haven't seen the white blooming thistle on the ranch before this year. Have you?
No.
It seemed like it was a new species that cropped up.
Yeah.
But the ones that they will spray, they're not against kind of hitting some of the bull thistle if they're out there spraying for the Scotch thistle anyway. But the Scotch thistle seeds will lie dormant in the ground for 39 years. So this is a project, a lifelong project of trying to stay on top of the thistle and knock down the thistle.
Yes, project, all right.
Fencing. Wanted to publicly thank the Stallones. They spent a day helping us do some fencing projects, and we finished fence days and stuff like a quarter of a mile back along the fences here. And it was kind of enjoyable, actually, working along with them. I worked along with Alan. It wasn't enjoyable. It was hard, back-breaking, brutal work. And we've had probably the equivalent of 2 solid weeks worth of work done between Alan and donated hours and some paid hours. We're close to closing the fences. We have a fence on our southern border for the first time across this wash. It's a flood fence. But it's fenced, so cows can't just walk up into Deer Creek Ranch from the south right now. With a big, it's a fence that can be dropped and rolled and stacked up if we can beat the flood to it. And if we can't, we just have to redo that fence. We got permission for the BLM to cut some posts to do some of those repairs. And we also got a permit to cut posts, and we can harvest and just stockpile posts anywhere we need. If anybody has a lot, any owners have a lot that they would like some cedars removed out of, then we would be happy to go up and cut posts on your lot and take some of your cedar posts down. The ranch also saved several thousand dollars because somebody was smart enough to buy a backhoe. So that was a great thing. And we've saved, you know, hundreds of dollars worth of labor with volunteer labor that we got done cleaning out ponds. Did some erosion control, some of the fence stuff, some culvert work, some digging and setting. That was all done on donated labor. Kelvin Lee came and his wife sat around and enjoyed the ranch while he just worked his butt off, you know, many, many hours, hour after hour, and he enjoyed it thoroughly. I propose that maybe we could make a motion that at no cost, we welcome him back to the ranch anytime he wants to come. And instead of having to charge him money to come to the ranch, I did waive his pay-for-work fee or pay-for-play fee. So with that, everything that he did, that we didn't charge him. And that I'd also like to send him a thank you note and a gift card to a restaurant for him and his wife to go to dinner or something. And I'd like to make a motion that we spend some money to do that.
This would come out of where?
You can take it out of mine if we need to. He did work for agriculture. It could come out of roads. It could come out. Yeah, we're talking about
something for roads.
We're talking about just a gift card, something from the ranch itself saying, hey, thank you for the labor of work that you did here.
And how much do you want to do?
Like $50 or something.
So there's been a motion that we do that. I'll second the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye. Okay. We talked about fire and there's a meeting item on the agenda that I put on. It's propane. Can I just go to that now?
Yeah.
Does anybody have any other questions on the ag part? I went down to fill my propane for my trailer, and I said, well, how much is this? It's $3.57. It's what? Wow, that's expensive. That's more than fuel. Well, okay. I says, well, how much do we pay from Deer Springs Ranch out here? Well, They only pay $257.
That's what I pay when I go there.
And I'm thinking, well, that's better, you know. And they said, well, we'll just, if you're from the ranch, then we'll just charge you. So I filled my propane at the $257 rate, and then I swung into Garkane.
Yes.
And I said, walk in. Hey, how much is propane? $1.50.
Whoa.
$1.50. And I said, for anybody?
Do they have a place?
Do I have to own this place or what?
They do now?
Because
they didn't have.
That's what.
No, it's the electric place in town, and they hooked me up with a guy. His name is Clint Shinoff, who's over this area, and people in sounds like in an alarming rate are switching to Garkane.
We are Garkane.
We are Garkane up
we are
here.
Garkane.
Well, I talked with Clint. I got a bid from Clint. He'd come and fill us up at $1.30. I just calculated the bills that we just spent May 15th. We would have saved $1,227.25 had we made this switch already.
Why did you go there last year?
Yeah. So I'd like to make a motion that we...
I don't know that we need a motion.
But I have
for that
Garkane
situation.
Deliver mine up there. Yeah.
That we.
I don't know if we need a motion. If we have a different, better price somewhere else, we just do it.
Hold on, everybody. Okay.
What?
One thing I got to say here is if we switch to Garkane, all our tanks are going to have to be replaced. Are you aware of that?
Yes. And they'll come and they'll set those aside and put their new tank in, and they'll service us. They've grown so fast or so much that they have the same amount of trucks and personnel working out of Kanab as the huge conglomerate, AmeriGas, who we have been used. What there might be some fees involved if we try to get our propane back from AmeriGas out of those tanks, and we'll have to explore them a little bit. Or we could just let them run out or run down way low and...
Garkane can come out with their equipment, get the tank on these rollers, roll it upside down, pump it into the AmeriGas propane that they've already put into their tank, leave the tanks open, or leave the tanks empty, and then AmeriGas can come pick them up. We don't have to run those tanks down. They can transfer the propane.
Brent is saying that that Garkane can capture the fuel that we've already bought. It is our fuel, so we'll be able to get it somehow. I think Garkane had some kind of issue. I'm telling you, these guys are way happy to come out here, and we would soon, and I even propose that we maybe start buying a tank a year or something and
have our own tank.
And we just own our own tank.
Go back and forth when we need to.
And quit paying the rent. But the rent fees, he gave me a price and a quote on the rental fees of each of the tanks that we have out here. And it is pretty darn, you know, cheap. So we just move forward on that. Who buys
the
propane?
Okay, I guess we got to figure out more about, or should this be something that, God, I hate losing that kind of money. I think we ought to move to that.
We've lost because our tanks just got, they didn't just fill half the ranch. They filled
everything and then
freaking thing out here. So we're sitting out here. So we're not really going to see the savings of this money until next year.
I guess we really need, well,
or
no,
maybe in the fall.
But what we'll need to know is exact numbers from Garkane and how long are they going to hold those numbers for us?
You know, the price of propane fluctuates.
I know that.
And he says it might change within 10 cents in a year.
But find out installation and all that kind of stuff, how much it's going to cost.
No fee. Absolutely.
Zero cost for Garkane.
He'll come out and change us over to Garkane as soon as we say yes, at no cost to us.
So I guess we need to find out from AmeriGas what they charge to, if they do charge us to come back yet or not.
He also would set us up with a system so we could fill our own propane tank to the ranch. We don't,
that's nice.
We have to no longer haul them to town, have them filled, and then come back out.
Yeah. I own my own tank, and AmeriGas filled it for the first 16 years, and I switched to Garkane. AmeriGas guy drove by to go fill Fred Searles, and he says, I haven't filled your tank yet this year. You want me to top it off? I says, no, it's a dollar a gallon cheaper through Garkane. He says, I'll match their price. Don't worry about it. But you have to.
Well, that was a good,
you know.
Yeah. I think they've had plenty of opportunity to match prices.
But I think before you just automatically switch over, this discussion was a couple of years ago, and Linda checked into it. So I think before you just check with Linda, see if she remembers what was going on with it first, and make that decision before you just arbitrarily do that, because she said she did a lot of investigating and working with America.
I remember.
So why don't you bring this up when we're ready to regas in the fall?
Well, how about if I start talking to Linda and find out more data for you?
What?
You can study and find out about it before fall. Why can I just not call Garcase and start right here, right now, rather than 2 years ago information?
Yeah, I think old, unless there's a reason, does somebody have a reason why we're paying $1.30 more for a gallon of propane for every gallon of propane?
Well, remember, too, Garcane's just getting new in the business here, so they're growing the business and they want to snag all the customers, but when they reach the same customer limit as what AmeriGas has,
it's a whole,
back to the same
when I talk to them about it, it's a whole different setup in the system, that because they're electric and a power company, they don't have the same parameters for profit as does the huge conglomerate AmeriGas, which is strictly make cash.
I know the Garcane put my system
and pay your money.
Half of what AmeriGas wanted to put it in.
Okay, we got Mariah on that.
Come on,
thank you.
Okay, let's move on. We're on it.
Okay, I'm done.
Joe,
okay.
Kevin. Woo-hoo.
Great. Thanks, Fred. That's a lot of stuff. So, Kevin?
Not a whole lot new. Alan's getting things going. He's starting to do the screens now. And Kevin, how does that work out? He's try some of the stretching it?
Yeah.
He's making screens, so we're cabins are kept clean. I still want to get our cabin floor and box in that water heater. But to buy some of the wall boards of just quarter inch stuff because it's not going to support the weight. But other than that, we're still going to get a price round. Do we ever get a price, Mariah, on that?
Yes, I just received my first bid back. I'm still waiting to hear it. One of the gentlemen actually came out here. I don't know if he came and saw you guys, Alan, if he ever met up to you. I think his name is Nathan Langford. Anyway, but the other one I got back was from James Early, and I do have that view to look at. It's about
15.
No, I'm not even
going to
say. I'll pull it out and let you look at it.
Other than that, we're just trying to stay on top of things. Alan's put new shelving in the laundry shed. I bought some more material for the day. Get that installed already? Force me to go down there and get it. You better use it. Other than that, we're doing okay. We're staying on top of stuff and moving along slowly.
Sounds good. Okay, John.
Yes. Okay, mine is, I got two things. This will be short and sweet. Only road work is done other than Podunk, which I reported last meeting, is that Al and Steve and I talked about that road above your place there. I did that at $500.
He did it?
He graded it. I had him grade it for $500.
It's all the gravel we put up there we were losing if we didn't get those. We were losing a lot of gravel. Just
yeah. So I had him to do that.
Okay, great.
And those roads right now, I just kind of wished I could knock some of the little whoop-a-doos off of them, because they're kind of rough because it's dry. And we get a little chance, but we need that grader fixed before we do that. I'm hesitating to hire somebody to do it. Okay, that's the end of that.
What's wrong with the grader?
Hmm?
The grader has a hydraulic line leaking. I have the part in my truck. I drove to Kanab, Hurricane, and St. George yesterday and could not find the part. So it's going home with me tomorrow, and I'll find something in Vegas, and I'll put it in a box, and I'll mail it to Brent on UPS next day air.
And I don't know if dragging it with heavy tires would be good. I don't know. It drags it down, but if you drag it across the cattle guard, you fill it up. So I don't want to do that. Okay, so I'm waiting on a grader right now.
So as soon as I get an answer on Monday, I'll let you know.
Now, the other thing is on fire. I already emailed you about what happened. And about the guy building a bonfire. Now, I'll give my daughter credit for that because I was up there. She went to Zion herding kids to do a little water rafting, and I was up at the cabin one waiting on her, and her husband and my wife and I were there waiting. And she come in about 10 o'clock at night and says, "Dad, there's some idiot down there with a big campfire next to the pond. You need to go down there and talk to him." And so I went down there, and I wasn't nice to him at all. I ripped into him a little bit, and then I also ripped into him for carrying a shotgun out there around the cattle prior to that. And I said, "You know, you and your dogs are out there, you're carrying a shotgun around." And I said, "Did you realize that the cattle grazing here and you cannot shoot there?" And he says, "Well, there's bears around." And I said, "You're just going to make the bear mad with that shotgun." I says, "No bears, no shooting, period." But anyway, I stood there and watched him put out the fire, and I will give him credit. He was nice. Now, one of the people with him copped an attitude to my son-in-law there, but that's okay. He and his wife cleaned that up so well you could never see that there's ever a fire there. What he did is he built the fire right there where the old porta potty was, the big toilet. And that's kind of a bare spot in a square about like this. And he put it in the middle of that. And then he said, "Well, I put it here where out away from things." I said, "Yeah, but you're in the middle of the grass here." But I said, "The wind is blowing, man." And I says, "We got a forest fire that's got over 100 square miles out of control." And I said, "One little spark will end this ranch. It'll just burn it up." But he put it out. I stood there and watched him. They didn't have anything but some little bottles like that for water, and they both kept running back and forth in the pond until he got it out. He did clean it up well. That's it. And I said to him, I said, "You're in cabin one, aren't you? Standing in cabin one, aren't you?" And he said, "Yes."
Cabin one?
Or no, I'm sorry, I misspoke. Garden cabin. And he said, "Yes." Anyway, that's all I have.
Thank you, John. I got something on roads.
Okay.
Just for FYI, the MOU we signed becomes a 50-year binding doc July 27th, and it's too late to stop it, so it's done.
That's what I want to do from last year.
Oh, wait, there's one more thing on that. But to ensure that it remains, we still own the road, and to make sure that that still continues, we need to close that road once a year.
Okay.
Now, otherwise, we don't. I know this happens in Arizona. If you don't close whatever we have that at our go town.
Have to document it, too.
Yeah. So, we should make one specific date every year to close that road.
Every year.
Something in the winter when no one's up there anyway, right?
Yeah.
Like February.
October 23rd.
No.
Deer hunting every year.
Well, we can still close it for 2 weeks out of the year, too, if we give them a notice. Or whatever, but we need to make sure we do close it one day of the year so we maintain ownership of that road.
So if we just close it down here, say in the winter when it's snowing and stuff up there, we're not going anyway.
I would think so.
That's good. Right? We don't have to go to the other end of it.
No, because it's already closed at the other end.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the forest already locked up.
Okay.
Yeah. So should we just pick a date?
Yeah.
February 2nd, February 1st. I was just thinking when it snowed, so I was going February.
Well, don't you want to do it in 2017?
Yes, okay. December. So, there's people here still in December, though. Sometimes the weather's still nice. There's still members here. They come up for their Christmas parties and stuff.
Things like I suggested.
Well, the first time it snows heavy that day.
With the contract, it's not valid, not effective until July 27th.
Okay.
So does that buy us an extra 6 months, like on the next year?
Don't know.
I don't know either.
It wouldn't be hard to do it, though. Just when the snow flies sometime in October, November.
But we need to give them notice of what date.
Oh, we do?
We do.
Also, Alan also told me the people that were in the garden cabin were using a garden hose and washing their vehicles.
She's writing a letter or something. Mariah's on that.
I did write a letter, but we just need to... Hey,
it was 30.
So, you saw him on Monday the 3rd?
That's a question I should have asked. I'd heard that they were supposed to be out on Thursday. But they were still here. When I first saw their vehicle up there, I thought they were camping. And I don't know that that's true.
At 10 o'clock at night, they were
and they were fishing, night fishing, and had a fire going.
The people in the garden cabin that I was thinking were came in on Thursday and checked out on Monday. So we would have had a new set of people in on Monday, I guess it would have been them.
Well, yeah, these people, he and his wife were Hispanic. That's all I can tell you.
Okay, then I
and they had two boxer dogs.
And I have written the letter, and I need to speak to them privately.
Okay. All right.
That's it.
Jeff. I don't have anything.
Okay.
Then, are we doing fire truck?
After lunch.
After lunch, Brent?
You going to do the fire truck after lunch?
Yeah.
Did that work?
I'm going to do the fire truck. I've been
sitting
here patiently.
What was your name? Before lunch, it sounded like Isabel was. You want to get trained.
Okay.
And so
let's,
it is.
Let's see. Let's,
you have to go to the truck.
All right, then we'll eat, and then we'll meet for our closed session. And all those who want to go over and splash in the water or do
so. So he's doing the fire truck thing now, he said.
Right.
Okay.
But I'm not holding a gun to your head to go do it.
Oh, right. I got you.
So the next meeting is when?
Okay, good question. August, second Saturday in August is when?
Looking.
Well, that would be nice.
12th. Second Saturday is the 12th.
Okay, let's do it. I may have a conflict. I can't remember if it's the first or second weekend that I have a meeting I have to go to in Salt Lake. So, for consistency, let's say the 12th then.
Let's see. Let me know, because 12th is awful close to the 15th. Payroll day.
This is long enough for the rest of the year. Let's just wait until 2018.
Honey, you weren't here when they were really long.
All right, this meeting is adjourned. All in favor, aye.
Aye, aye, aye.